NARIC is your record industry knowledge network.
Welcome. My name is Tess Taylor. I'm the president of the National Association of Record Industry Professionals. I'm delighted to have you all here with us this evening at our advertising music supervisor session with the lovely young Jackie Schumann of Good Ears. Before I introduce our guest, since we do have a few people here for the first time, I want you to know that NARIC is the biggest and the most effective music business network in the world. We have 9 chapters. We're based here in Los Angeles. Miss Annie comes to many of our events in New York. Once the music has been made, then what? Then NARIC. We help people to market their music. Market, sell, distribute, license, and collect. All the things that go along with monetization of music. We are now in our 17th year, and NARIC is the leading record industry organization for career development, education, and access in this business. We also get people jobs. Or if you're hiring and you need help finding the right person, let us know. We have a mentor network, a job bank, and search services for our members. We have an online store where you can purchase audio recordings of past NARIC programs like these, as well as form agreements, sample marketing plans, and other resources. We invite you to join NARIC if you're not already a member. Have a look at our resources online. If you enjoyed the event this evening, please follow us and tweet about us. Tweet prodigiously. You can follow us at NARIC. The lovely Jackie is, I love your handle, at Jackie Probably. And our hashtag is NARIC Sessions. So, we've got tons of upcoming NARIC events. We just had a brunch on Saturday in Orange County. We have these music business networking brunches once a month. We're about to announce another one in November. We have coming up next week, current and future opportunities in EDM in Atlanta. We also have in London an advertising music supervisor session with Platinum Rise Tom Stanford. He has major ad campaigns in Europe. And we have upcoming supervisor sessions with Andrea Van Forster in Houston and Atlanta, and we're about to announce a date in Phoenix. I just am coordinating a date with Alexander Nixon, who's the head of DreamWorks Animation TV, head of music at DreamWorks Animation TV. So we'll be announcing a date with her shortly, as well as a few other supervisors. And, of course, we do panel discussions and workshops of all kinds. So make sure you subscribe at NARIC.com. It's free. Or have a look at our website at least every 10 minutes, if not more. So these sessions have been very successful. We've had over 200 placements for our members, actually approaching 300 now, with several of our members getting 20, 30, or more placements. Bobby Drake in Atlanta was commissioned to compose 20 or more original cues for VH1. Jessica Cole of Lyric House Music Publishing has had close to 50 placements, if not more. Gail Beret, who's pitching this evening from New York, has had placements. And placements are the least of it, in my opinion. It's the relationship building that is the most important, because you want to get to know Jackie and you want her to get to know you so that you can get on her pitch list for the future and stay there for the rest of your lives. Right? Okay. So I want to thank SAE Institute for enabling us to have our sessions here. We do love SAE. It's a wonderful school. I want to give special thanks to Jessica Wilkin for helping us out. And for assistance this evening, special thanks to Spencer Tapia and the young Jinghao Kui, who are organizing your music, which is no small task. We will start with a few quick questions, and then we're going to go straight to music. I'm going to have Jackie zip through. I've asked her to be candid. Just tell it like it is. Can she use it? Can she not use it? Because there's no point in soft soaping any of this. If it's usable, great. If not, what will make it usable? And if you have suggestions for where it might work better, then in your shop, you let us know. So, now to our lovely guest, Jackie Schumann. She's a music supervisor. Music scientist. And a cultural curation company, Good Ear Music Supervision. They are known for their award-winning work on huge campaigns with brands such as Apple, Target, Google, Samsung, Pepsi, Nike, Honda, Nissan, Gap, Spotify, Sonos, and many, many more. She came to GEMS after representing multi-platinum artists, including Sia and Fall Out Boy, for licensing as head of sync at Crush Management. Prior to that, she worked in film and television, licensing at RCA Records in New York, and spent years in radio, including time at Los Angeles Tastemaker station Indy 103.1 FM, which is a great, great station. She's now based in LA. Will you please join me in welcoming Jackie Schumann? So Jackie, before we get to some listening, everyone here wants to get on your list and stay on it. So how does that happen? Do you send out many searches?
First of all, that bio makes me sound way cooler than I am, so thanks for that. I think that...
Not true.
For us, you know, it really depends on our deadlines. Like, if we have a turnaround time of, like, 3 hours, we realistically cannot send a search to everyone and expect to get stuff back in the time frame that we need it, within the budget that we need it in. And our deadlines do tend to be extremely fast. So I would say we send out searches for maybe a quarter of what we work on.
Is everything that fast?
Yeah. Advertising in particular is insane. Normally we've got anywhere between like 8 to 12 hours to turn around something on a project. But in order, I think we're also a little bit different in that some music supervisors send out one search to everyone. They've got that one list and they send it to the same person every time. For us, we really try to send targeted searches to people that we know have certain types of stuff. So if I need a 1950s R&B crooner song, I'm not going to go to someone that might just have contemporary music. So we really try to keep it really organized on our end. But yeah, I would say we probably send out searches for about a quarter of it, and the way that people stay on is by keeping me updated by what they have, sending music quickly, keeping the metadata organized, knowing that they know what they're doing, having instrumentals or lyrics or whatever I need as quickly as I need it, which sometimes can be within like 15 minutes.
Okay.
I would say those are probably some good tips.
Great. Okay. So when instrumentals obviously dramatically increase the possibility of a piece of music being used, do you let people send their instrumentals right away or just to indicate instrumentals available if desired?
Yeah, I think just letting me know that instrumentals are available and also making sure to really clearly read a brief, because a lot of the times I'll tell you if I just need instrumentals or please include instrumentals along with any vocals. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't read that stuff, which is a surefire way to have me take you off because I just don't have time to ask for it. Even though I wish I did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think some people appreciate getting everything right off the bat. It's not a bad thing to send it. But for me personally, I prefer to just let me know if instrumentals are available. Or let me know if one of the songs you're sending like does not have an instrumental, because that is good to know too.
Okay.
That happens a lot.
So your media preferences are you will not absolutely refuse CDs, but you prefer links and digital opposed to physical.
I will pretty much refuse a CD.
Okay.
Or a flash drive.
Kind about it in your email.
Okay? Yeah.
You didn't say outright refuse.
Yeah, I mean, I would really prefer not to. If you're going to hand it to me, I'll take it. But just realistically, like, it's so easy to lose track of.
Okay.
I don't have the time to put it in my computer. It's so much easier to just download it and drag it into a file and deal with it when I have time to listen to it.
Okay.
I think that's one of the hardest parts about this job is, like, I love music and I want to listen to it all the time. But I don't have time. So the quickest way I'm always getting music is just via Dropbox. You send it, whatever.
Are those your favorite Dropbox and you send it?
I think, yeah, like anything that I don't have to log in to download is best. SyncTank is another really good one. You can preview and stream. Yeah, I love anything that gives me the ability to preview something before I decide if I want to download it.
Okay, so stream, preview, or download.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Digital Pigeon is another really good one, too.
Is that a service?
Yeah.
Digital Pigeon.
Yeah, something like that. I've seen that one. What else is there?
Stream.
I think SyncTank is pretty much like leading the way with that stuff right now.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
What about, I have a database.
Mm-hmm.
So I could give you like a login. You could go on and...
I think for me personally, and again, like I want to speak on behalf of all music supervisors, but for me, anything where I have to keep a login and remember my password, I'm just not going to do it.
You're
I just have too much stuff to keep track of, too many different passwords. And I mean, even major record labels, Universal, Sony, when they send me stuff and I need a password to log it in, I delete it because I just don't have time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you're going to find that more often than not, Julie, which I mentioned in an email to you a while ago. But
well, so. I mean, I think you... I don't know how to change that on SoundMiner, but I'm sure we can.
We'll figure something out.
Otherwise, anyway. I could just always email you things, and you don't have to do anything with
Yeah, that's great too. Or if you're sending, if you are sending music that does require a login and password, I would say like every time you send it, you have to remind people of their login and their password.
Yeah.
That's what about SoundCloud?
I was going to say, I use SoundCloud.
Yeah, SoundCloud's great if there's a downloadable option. Totally great. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go to listening now because we have a sold-out session. Thank you very much, Jackie.
Thanks, guys.
There's about six or seven people who aren't physically here, but we are full. So we're going to start with lovely Kara here, who is...
I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, it's quite all right. So the lovely Kara O'Neill... who is on page, they're all alphabetical by last name, page 12.
Cool.
So Kara is a young managerette from Florida. I met her in Florida last year when we had a session with Andre Von Forster. She's working now with legendary radio executive and manager, Super Frank, how's he pronounced?
Kapsidas.
Kapsidas, who's representing the James Brown estate, Joss Stone, Patrick Watson, and others, and Alex Luke, former head of iTunes Global Music Initiatives. So she's working with some heavy-duty guys who have a wonderful roster. Their current priority is the Peach Kings and one or two other...
Aren't they playing a show tonight? You
that's
that?
Where I gotta go right now. Yeah. I gotta be there by 8.
So, we wanted to squeeze in young Kara. What would you like to play first for Jack?
We'll start with Be Around.
Be Around. Okay, so you're gonna go to Kara O'Neill's.
Yeah.
And just...
Definitely something I would pitch more as like an instrumental than a vocal. What's next?
We'll do Sweet Like You, which is the unreleased music. And
are any of these for particular brief or you just want
to... No, they're not for particular brief. The Sweet Like You is a great one. When I listen to it, I think... You hear the opening of the song, and then you can skip to 309 of the track. And
okay.
It builds up to this thing. But I just envision Eminem's commercial almost. Anything it has to do with romance,
yeah.
Valentine's Day.
I'm a queen of the dark side. She's a killer.
the instrumental probably good. I mean, it's so like American sounding. It kind of has that like soulful rock Black Keys vibe that a lot of music supervisors like.
Yeah.
We try to avoid that just because my company in particular, we try to just do things a little bit differently than everyone else does, which is why we get hired.
And how is that? How are you different?
I would say that we generally, I mean, there's a lot of exceptions to this rule, but we try to grab the weirder stuff most of the time, or the stuff that's a little bit less mainstream. I mean, this is really straightforward blues rock.
Right.
Not to say it's not good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that, I mean, I also know that a lot of music supervisors are talking about the Peach Keys right now, which is just a great sign. but I think I could hear it working so well for, like, something really American, like a car ad, you know?
Right.
I can see it working extremely well in an intro for a TV show. I mean, before I was a music supervisor, I pitched for film and TV and trailers and video games and ads. So I think if that were on my roster, I would definitely be pitching it really hard for a TV. Trailers, too.
Yeah.
I think really, really good for any kind of, like, badass action needs in a trailer.
Badass action. All right. Yeah. Excellent. Well, you're going so fast. Let's
I'm really fast.
No, this is perfect.
Love it.
Fast is
fast
good.
And really blunt. I'm sorry.
No, don't
That's
worry about it.
Precisely what we want.
Okay. Badass action trailers. The fourth song by your side?
Yeah, sure. If you got time.
Go for it.
I know. Feeling under here. I know most of your references are like super positive, high energy type stuff, and I was like, this is a long shot, but I gotta.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that sometimes we do work on stuff that calls for something a little bit darker or sexier. It's just so rare that I'm trying to like reach into the reserves of my mind and figure out a good example. I think it sounds so much like Mazzy Star, though, and everyone loves that. So if you do pitch it for ads, I would just say, you know, recommend it if you like. Mazzy Star or
The Kills, White Stripes.
Yeah.
Do you like in your metadata sounds like comparisons?
You know, we take it out, but it is good to have, especially like when I'm.
Why do you take it out?
We organize our music in a really particular way.
Okay.
But it is good to have initially. Sometimes if it does sound uncannily similar, we'll keep it in. But yeah, it's always good to have. I think telling music supervisors what something sounds like is the easiest way to get them to listen.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. Cool. Good, good, good. I have to ask you, so you're going to hear a lot of music tonight, and you obviously hear a lot of music during your day, week, month, year. When you need to refer back to the Peach Kings or anything you've heard here tonight, how do you remember it? How do you, you know, how do you get it out of the hard drive of your mind in 2 months when you need it?
I do keep a running playlist of my favorites in iTunes. We use iTunes to organize everything. So, you know, not only do we create playlists for clients and send them through that, but I have, you know, Jackie favorites and Eric has Eric's favorites and Andrew has Andrew's favorites. That's probably the best way that I remember.
Mm-hmm. Do you have folders like cheerful, bluesy?
So instead of having folders, we tag everything ourselves. As soon as we get it in, it's something I want to keep. I will add my own tags like happy, energetic, you know, Mazzy Star, if it sounds like that, or whatever, you know, optimistic, uplifting, sexy, flirty, whatever it is. So instead of making separate playlists because we have hundreds and hundreds of 8 bytes of music, I just tag it that way.
Okay. All right. Good, good, good. Any questions, Kara?
That's all the answers I needed. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, have a good fun at your gig.
Thank you.
Spencer, can I get name tags for our Google Chat folks, please? I think we have them. All right. So now we're going to go to London. Kenny, are you with us?
Hi,
Kenny. How are you?
I'm fine. Hello, Jackie.
Hi.
How's London? Is it cold and wet?
Yeah, it's cold. Not wet, but cold.
Man, it is so hot here. I cannot wait for it to cool down. Okay. I was just in Europe 2 weeks ago, and it was so nice that it was overcast. Anyway, so lovely Kenny here is a fantastic top liner. She started doing our sessions a couple months ago and has just been making, you know, good friend after good friend with all the music supervisors who really love her stuff. In fact, Holly Williamson is offering to produce your music, and I hope you follow up with that, because if you don't, I'm going to be mad at you, Kenny. All right, so Kenny is a really great top liner, and she's collaborating with a couple of our members here as well. So I think we're going to be hearing some new stuff from you today, or one song I recognize, but two are new. So Kenny, what's first?
I'll have the best.
The best?
Energetic.
Okay. Yeah. And this, did you have this for? I'm sorry, did you have this in mind for a particular brief, Kenny?
I actually read on Jackie's profile that she does ISO Nike.
Okay.
And I thought probably we will normally do spot advert.
Okay.
I think this will suit it.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. Go for it.
Writing for sports. You know, generally speaking, we try to avoid songs that sound like they were written specifically for commercials. That is one thing I would say this song kind of sounds like. I think the production is really good, and I think the melody is awesome. For us in particular, though, we probably wouldn't pitch it just because it's like too accurate. It's too on the nose for a sports spot. Lyrically,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Isn't that sad? You nail it, and yet, yeah. And then you don't.
It's like, I mean, but with that said, I think that the bones are there.
Okay.
Like maybe if you just made it a little bit less specific and made it a little bit less like obvious,
mm-hmm.
I think that you could actually probably have something really good there. Especially because it's actually really rare that we hear sports songs that are written from a female perspective. A lot of them are a lot more kind of like, you know, masculine and swagger based. So I personally would love to pitch more stuff that was written by a woman about sports. We worked on a spot for Gatorade a couple months ago where they did want female driven sports songs, and it was difficult to find for sure.
Would you consider having another listen if she redoes this for you?
Sure, I'd be happy to listen.
Okay,
yeah.
So something less obvious. I guess maybe more vague lyrics, Kenny. Can you manage something like that?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, yeah, give it a shot, and she'll have another listen, okay?
Okay.
But it's a lovely song. All right, so what's next? Brighter Day?
Brighter Day, please.
Okay.
Stay alive, it's gonna end every cry.
Cool. I could totally hear something like that working for McDonald's, or any kind of very like American-leaning, happy, something that needs to appeal to people of all generations. We don't work on a ton of stuff like that.
What about Target?
Target, yeah. You know, JCPenney, like, you know, I would say it's positive and it's happy and a lot, you know, it's pleasant and it's, the lyrics are basic enough that it could still handle a commercial with a little bit of voiceover and work. But then the instrumental also is like perfectly happy and simple and a perfect music bed for an ad. Again, probably not something that we would use, but I think it would be worth pitching to other music supervisors that do ads or just direct to brand as well.
Okay, direct to brand. Do you know who works on JCPenney and...
I think McGarry Bowen just got hired, but it is so hard to keep track because
they change.
Yeah, the agencies on record change so much, but you could actually, there's a great website called Agency Spy, which is part of Adweek, and if you just search like JCPenney, I know that they just did an article on it a couple days ago about like who's changing that now. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. All right, Agency Spy. Write that down.
Yeah, that's, I mean, for advertising in particular, like, that's the best place to find out who's working on what. A lot of the times, also, it tells you what music supervisor did it. We're a little bit unique as a company because we're independent, so we get hired by ad agencies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even people that have a music supervisor in-house will still hire us. So if they only list the ad agency that did it, try to find if there's a music supervisor at that agency that you can pitch to.
What about going direct to brand?
You can go direct to brand. It's a little bit harder to like figure out who to send your music to in that case because they don't have a designated like creative or a producer. But you know, it's worth a shot. Kind of like whoever you can get to listen to it. Maybe someone in marketing would be like your best bet.
All right, very good. Any questions on that, Kenny? Any questions?
I really got it. Thanks.
Great. Yeah. All right, Rise Again. Is that your next song, Kenny?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yes, please.
The production on this, and I'm going to be really frank, it's just a little bit cheesy. You know, it's hard because like a lot of ads do use stuff like this. They do. We just don't. I think that, again, from what I can tell from the lyrics, it's a little bit too on the nose again. It's just, you know, we will rise again and stuff like that. It's tough because you want to write a song that can work for a brief, but you don't want to make it sound like it was written to work for a brief. Because I think, to be honest, brands do want to use songs that sound authentic, and they want to use music from real musicians, and they want to break bands. So I think that when they come across, or when we come across songs that sound like they were written just for commercials, it's tough. But what I can tell is that you really know what you're doing because you're clearly listening and, like, you know, you get what people want for ads. I would really consider looking into some companies that hire people like you to write for ads. We don't work with a lot of custom compositions, but a lot of people do. One company in particular is a friend of mine's company called Score a Score.
Jordan Passman?
Yeah, Jordan Passman's company. He's amazing. I don't know how actively they're looking for composers, but I think it would absolutely be worth saying, like, listen, I can write on spec. I've got a great understanding of, like, what people need, and you know, I'm a talented top line writer because clearly this stuff is really catchy and infectious, and those are two things that you really need. Just for me, lyrically, it's not coming together.
And I will also tell you, Kenny, that in our email to me today, Alexandra Nixon, with whom I'm coordinating a date, she's a head of music at DreamWorks Animation TV. She says specifically she's looking for songwriters.
and you can guess what kind of songwriter she's looking for since she's at DreamWorks Animation.
I think also like Disney stuff, you know, this screams Disney to me, and you know, I'm sure that there are people at Disney, I mean, I know two in particular that need stuff like this. ABC Family as well. You know, it's really good family friendly, like, stuff. Easy stuff.
What's the lovely Australian supervisor's name who took over from Alexandra? It'll come to me.
At Disney?
Yeah. I'll remember her name and I'll email you. Okay, Kenny? Any questions for Jackie? Any questions for Jackie?
Yeah, just one question, Jackie. So if I want to teach... Yeah, I've got one question. Yeah, one question. And so can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Hi, sis. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
That was old transatlantic phone call.
Oh, okay. So... Hi, Jackie. So, in the nearest future, if I had to write some lyrics, what sort of lyric topic or title or would you be looking for? Like, what would you want the lyric to be talking about, you know, in general sense?
I mean, for songs like this...
Okay.
For songs like this, it's so hard to say. I mean, I would just try to focus on... Maybe if you want to have this kind of like on the nose type thing, keep those very on the nose lyrics for your chorus, and in your verses, try to deviate from that a little bit. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're only going to be using a 15 to 30 second snippet of what you're writing anyway. So maybe just focus on the chorus is where you're going to have that kind of lyrical direction, and the verses just try to be, you know,
vague. Okay, yeah. So then that way that the song can be cut up. Okay, so on the nose with the chorus directly and more general vague lyrics in the verses. Does that make sense?
Yeah, perfect sense. Thanks, Jackie.
No problem.
All right. Thank you, Kenny. So stay with us, okay?
Sure.
All right. If you please mute yourself, that would be lovely. Now let's go to Mr. Mike Gilligan in New Jersey. Mike, can you hear me? Mike.
Can you hear me?
Hello, darling. Welcome to you. All right.
Hi.
Here's Mike. I see half your face, and what a nice face it is. Oh, there we are. Okay.
I was at work screen for you guys. But
okay. Well, we can see you, so keep your clothes on. I'm not kidding when I say that. One of our participants once forgot she was on camera. Oh my God. And it was.
You're not kidding that that's what you hope I don't do.
Just, you know, keep it clean, Mike. Keep it clean, at least for now. All right, so Mike, welcome. This is your first session. He's based in New Jersey.
Yep.
He's got an independent record label, and he's got a number of alternative indie bands, as well as internationally established performers, including Miles Hunt, Erica Knuckles, is that it? Not an Exit 2007, yep. Arms and Sleepers, and a number of others. I'm particularly impressed by the book you've just released, Sex, Drugs, and Cubicles, compiling insider tales about the music trinity of money, greed, and stupidity experienced over a lifetime in the music industry. I'd like to read that. So, we'll talk later about how I can get a copy. Okay, wonderful. So, what would you like to play first for Jackie?
I guess Arms and Sleepers.
Okay.
Is that their tracks?
Which one?
Swim Team.
Swim Team? All right. Is this for a particular brief, Mike?
The most something I would save and listen to out of everything I've heard so far.
Okay.
I really like it's immediately something that you're kind of like pulled into. It's got a really good beat. I like the light background vocals in it that kind of make it a little bit more than just an electronic instrumental. It has that kind of like rare quality of being electronic but also feeling really like warm, which can be hard to accomplish when you're working with synthesized instruments. I really like it. I think it's definitely something I would save.
Okay.
It can work for lots of different stuff.
Okay.
It's a great great to have for technology spots.
Where that came from.
Okay. You got lots more where that came from? Okay.
Well, I said they played it only tonight, so they have a whole going up the name.
Wonderful. All right. So that's an A plus for you, Mike. What's next?
Henry, the Mean Season.
Okay.
We'll do. Now, this is a song, indie rock group from DC. This has a lot of different guitar breaks that can be used.
Most of the time, if I'm listening for rock, I'm looking for something that has a little bit more like peaks and valleys to this, or that's really like explosively energetic. It's hard to find a good place for like a mid-tempo rock song for us. Let me listen a little bit more. We need those lyrics to be really easy to understand so that we don't have to ask you for them. And so I can very clearly understand, like, okay, what are the themes in this song? Like, where is it going to be useful to me? Is she talking about traveling and exploring? Is she talking about overcoming obstacles? Is she talking about going for a ride? Like, where can I, you know, use this? So if the vocals aren't high enough for me to hear those lyrics, it can be tough to figure out how it would be most useful to me.
Okay. Make sense, Mike?
Yeah. So it makes sense.
We've got a little bit of delay, so did you have any comment on that?
No.
Okay. So shall we go to Candyman?
Sure.
Okay. Excellent.
Lift the laptop for 2 seconds.
Sure.
A little OCD happening over here?
A little bit.
Candyman, is that it?
Yep.
Mr. Candyman,
I don't know how much I can have. Your sugar is the sweetest, but my mama says it's bad.
Okay, so here's what I think. To target this song for advertising would fall under the same kind of issue with the last girl with being
Penny.
Too on the nose. Yeah, with Penny. Saying, you know, candy, like you like dessert. I do think there are some brands that would go for that. You know, like maybe Häagen-Dazs. I feel like they did something like that recently. What I think would be a really smarter idea would be to target it for like sexier scenes in TV. Like I could hear that working so well on a show on the CW, for example, where, you know, you're using candy as like a metaphor and right. I could hear that working really well for TV. For us
personally, I don't think we would pitch something like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions, Mike?
No.
Okay. Great. Let's go to the last one. Make me your wish.
Make me your wish, and I will call you true. And this is my
we get asked for things that sound timeless, so that's good. It's also a duet, which is something we've been asked for a lot lately, and it's got a build in there, which is good because it sounded like it was going to stay pretty flat, but then it kind of picked up there, you know, around the 3-minute mark. Those are all things that are great for ads. I don't think this song in particular is super strong, but I would think that if Steven is writing stuff like that, there's probably other gems on the record that we would want to hear.
Well, you're going to get a folder of everything you heard tonight so that you can keep it, license it for...
It would definitely be something that if I knew that you had something like this and I was looking for a timeless folk song, I would reach out to you and say, what else do you have like it?
Okay. Does this guy, Steven, have more like this, Mike?
Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, well done for your first Mirror Obsession. Can you stay with us?
I certainly will.
All right. Any questions for Jackie?
No.
Okay.
I hope she wants to hear more. That's all.
I think she does. So if you'll just mute yourself, if at any time you have a question, wave your hand furiously so I'll see you. Okay? Thanks, Mike. All right. Let's go to Simon Brenner in London. Now, he's not physically here. He was one of the co-founding members, or one of the founding members of Talk Talk, that great band in the
80s. Oh,
yeah, so he's on page 3. So they sold millions and millions and had a greatest hits album. I think they were on EMI. He left the band to collaborate with a few other artists, including one fellow from Culture Club, who put out an album. Then he trained as a psychotherapist, and now he's coming back slowly to music and has just put out an EP with a young singer he found, fellow by the name of Daniel. So what's nice about his little bio is if you look on page 3, he gave you tiny stories for each song. But since you're listening so quickly, I think we can zip through each one of them. So starting with Light the Spirit, up-tempo electro, he thinks this might work for sports brands.
Also very fun. The new Deluxe record has a lot of stuff that's in this kind of like new disco vein.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, I think it's on trend. I don't, I'm not finding much in this, like in the way that this particular song is executed. I'm not, there's not really anything here for me.
Okay.
But I do think that new disco is definitely like a thing that's happening or coming back.
Okay. Is that usable in advertising, new disco?
Yeah. You know, it's tough. A lot of people, I pitch a lot of that kind of stuff, and then people say that's too dancey, and then I get really bummed. But I fully believe that one day it'll happen.
Okay. Good. Let's go to stand up. Disco.
Not something that I would use in an ad. I think it would be great for TV again. Like I could, I mean, that one saxophone, or I'm terrible at naming instruments, whatever the horn.
That was a trumpet.
That thing. you know, I watch a ton of Blacklist, and I could totally hear that working in Blacklist. You know, something that's like a little bit sinister. It's, again, got that kind of like timeless sound. You don't know if it's actually an old R&B or jazz song or if it's new.
Who does the music for Blacklist?
Yes, John Bissell does the music for Blacklist, but you're hard-pressed to get a response from him, if you're going alone.
I will.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, but again, I want to be candid and say that everything I've heard so far has been a little bit on the cheesy side.
Okay.
The production's not really up to par.
Okay.
And I would say, basically, especially with someone like John Bissell, super nice guy, but you've got one shot with him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you waste it by sending something like this, where the production just isn't there yet, and it's got like it's got the bones, and it can be a really cool instrumental, but it's just not ready yet. I think that from what I can tell, something like that would need to be reworked before you potentially pitch it to someone of that caliber.
You said the voice wasn't grabbing you. Just
let me listen a little bit more. Yeah, it's not the voice. I actually really like the voice. It's the production.
Okay.
It's just not up to where it needs to be. I think he has a really awesome soulful voice, and I think there's such a huge like resurgence of that soulful sound right now.
Okay.
Everyone from Leon Bridges to like Ben Booker, or, you know, to J.D. McPherson, like those are huge buzz bands right now in music supervision and with people who should just listen to music in general.
Leon Bridges.
Leon Bridges would be a great person to listen to for something like this. And then, you know, Ben Booker,
okay.
J.D. McPherson, Eli Paperboy Reed, you know, those are all like new soul type artists that I think are really like nailing that sound.
Okay.
This is not for me.
Well, the voice is, but the production isn't.
Yeah.
Okay. And because I'm not a technical person,
yeah.
What would you say to do to this production?
Oh my God, I'm not a technical person either.
Okay.
I just know when I hear what could be better. I mean, it needs to be mixed and mastered better. The levels are a little off, the vocals are a little muddled.
Okay.
I wish I could get more specifics, but.
All right, well, I'm going to be conveying these notes, so I want to try to be as specific as possible. Okay, lovely voice, good. Let's zip down to Better When We're Together.
Perfect for TV or film.
that kind of sound is like so popular right now. Okay. You know, like neo soul type stuff. Again, I would suggest listening to Leon Bridges because he is like nailing it right now. He's going to be huge. Okay. So good.
Okay.
This reminds me a little bit of that. It also reminds me a little bit of this guy Benjamin Clementine,
okay,
who just got signed to Universal. Piano-based, soulful pop. It's also kind of like nailing that neo soul sound.
Was the production value of the first song okay or not so good?
This?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is much better than the last one.
The one before that.
I didn't
think the production was okay on that, yeah. All right, so then good. All right, so good for film, TV, maybe not so much for ads. All right. And the last song, I Adore Him. So he's had placements and appearances in Ben and Jerry's Factory Tour, lots of television placements, and several indie films. So thank you very much for coming. And what are we going to hear first?
Let's start with Fun.
Fun?
Which is not Sex Bomba, but...
I'm not allowed to use any songs with ukulele.
Really?
Yeah. It's a rule we have. But I'll still listen because other people love it.
Could you? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you should.
I won't tell you what to do, but here's my advice. You gotta help. Do you have an edit of this song that has
just the chorus? Because that's probably
it. Would be like the instrumental with the oohs and the background vocals.
I can do that, sure.
Yeah, I would say that would be something so good to have on hand.
Even though it's ukulele.
not for us, but something that would be really useful to pitch to other music supervisors. It's just that we just don't work on a ton of stuff that calls for it. It's really, it's really sweet and happy and great, and a lot of other music supervisors will want that, especially if you can make a mix. They call it a TV mix that has the instrumental with the background. Yeah, with the non-lyrical vocalizations is what you would call it, but TV mix, people will know what you're talking about. I would think it would be really, I could hear it in a lot of stuff, honestly. I mean, fast food, makeup, feminine products, like anything like that. Yeah. It's girly, it's sweet, it's warm, maybe some travel spots too. It's non-intrusive, simple, could work with a lot of voiceover. It feels happy, which, people want to feel happy when they're selling you stuff.
This is so vastly disappointing. You love the song, but you can't use it.
I mean, that's my job, basically. Like, if I could place all the music I love, it would be a very different job. But
what if I replaced the ukulele?
If you replaced the ukulele, I'm trying to think of what that would sound like.
I know, it would have to be
guitar.
But,
if it were more of a folk song than kind of like this island-like song, I would keep it. I would file it away.
That's interesting, because that's what I thought of. I wanted to do that, but this producer steered me towards the uke.
Lots of people love the uke.
Yeah, it's it's very fashionable.
Yeah, we just don't.
Okay.
Well, if you do a non-uke,
I will keep it and pitch it if you send me a non-uke version with that.
Okay,
you've got a deal.
Okay,
awesome.
I can't guarantee anyone will use it.
What's next?
Let's go to something completely different and go to Bamba Agogo.
Okay. A lot of the times people want stuff that sounds authentic to an era,
right,
but maybe they don't have the budget for it.
Okay.
So if you do have stuff that sounds like it could be a 60s surf pop song, that's such an asset.
Okay.
Because sometimes the budgets just aren't there to afford something that is authentic. But it's fun. It's I like the tail end. It's obviously very niche, so I'm trying to think of what it would work for. It would probably, knowing that it was, I'm assuming you own the master and publisher.
Absolutely.
But, so for me, the benefit of keeping something like that, even though this particular song might not blow me away, is that it's affordable. It sounds like it could be from the 60s or the 70s or whatever, and it's unique. I love the surf type stuff, so it's something I would probably keep. Instrumentals are tough sometimes, you need some kind of lyric if the instrumental doesn't have a ton going on. I didn't have time to listen to the whole thing, but I know that there is a dildo there. Back when I was independently music supervising, I worked on spots for this tequila brand where they had kind of badass motorcycle dudes in a black and white film driving on the coast, and they wanted stuff like this, so I think there's definitely a place for it, for sure.
Okay, good.
Would you like to hear a different Sex Bomba song?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. What do you have in total? I mean, I would recommend that you give her a variety of stuff to listen to. You have a different sounding song, Matt?
I do. Why don't we then? Okay. Let's go to Beer, and
sure.
Let's do the acoustic version.
Acoustic version of Beer.
Yes. I have a lot of versions of this song.
Cool. That's smart.
Said girls come and girls go. That's how some of this time flow by. Baby,
laugh, you know?
Thank you. That's why I wrote it.
And if you can
it to you, it's a Nashville road.
Obviously, it's a funny song, right?
That's my forte.
Yes. my boyfriend would love that song. I think, again, like, my critique to Kenny was the on-the-nose type stuff. So, obviously, it wouldn't work for a beer ad.
I know that.
Yeah.
Everyone tells me that.
But it could be a great, funny use to put, you know, in, like, a party scene at a college party on, you know, how to get away with murder on ABC Family, which takes place at a college. You know, like, something that's playing at their bonfire in the background that is just a little, like, comedic nod. I don't hear it working for anything alcohol related directly like that, but it is funny. And like, if I heard that, I would think, okay, that's great. You know, I know this guy can write funny stuff, and like, you know, we need covers a lot of the time, so I would be like, maybe he can write a, you know, humorous cover or something. That you know, like, we worked on a spot for a car brand a little while ago where they well, it's out now, so I can talk about it. It was for Nissan, and they, I don't know if you guys have seen it. I hope you have, because it's on TV all the time. But basically, like, this guy takes his car to a junkyard, and there's someone playing this, like, sad kind of funeral dirge. And you, like, kind of recognize it, maybe, and then you realize that he's playing Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
And then the car gets crushed, and he, like, gets his new Nissan, and then when he turns that one on, it's the actual Miley Cyrus song. So for that, you know, they were looking for comedic interpretations of pop songs. So, you know, that would be something where, like, if they would have wanted a country version of that song, and, you know, it was in a totally different setting or whatever, I would know, like, okay, I can go to this guy because he can write that for me.
I could do that.
Yeah.
So, Matt, you'd be good to do comedic interpretations, okay?
I've got a lot of stuff like that, yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good niche. All right.
Definitely. Like, if that's your thing, like, roll with it.
Okay.
Know?
Roll it hard. Okay. Your last song.
Well, let's do another sex bomb.
Yeah, I
want to
hear that.
Okay, let's do Cal Chater.
What's it called?
Cal Chater. Named after...
Clients really want something that sounds recognizable, but the budget is just not there. So this is great for that kind of thing.
We're going to talk
This band put out 3 CDs. It's varied. We have, like, guitar rave-ups. We have some pretty stuff that's kind of loungy, and it's all, you get the sense of it, so.
Yeah.
Would you want to be interested in hearing
I think that, for me, like, because it is rare that we need stuff like this, it would be best if, you know, I organize myself pretty specifically, so it's like, if I need this, this is the email address that I'm going to reach out to, so, like, knowing that this is what you have, I would reach out if and when we needed it.
Okay.
For us to have it in the library and go through the process of tagging it and all that stuff might not be worth it.
Okay.
Well, keep him in mind,
yeah,
it's
definitely
comedic.
Yes.
All right? Licensable for large songs.
What,
right?
Do you have a home studio? Like, what's your turnaround time like?
Yeah, I have Pro Tools, and, you know, I can get it done.
You work fast?
Yes.
Good.
Well, also, I have a lot of friends so I can get things done very fast.
Fast is good.
Fast is great.
I know that.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much, Matt.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Jackie.
Let's go to Oklahoma. Kit, are you there? Kit Wakely.
Hey, Ms. Tess.
Hey.
I'm actually Milwaukee today.
You're in Milwaukee. I never know where you are. That's crazy. All right, Kit. It's nice to have you here. So we're on page 16 with the young Kit Whately. So when Kit isn't running large multinational corporations, he's out helping people repair their homes after Oklahoma tornadoes. That's wow. So nice of you, Kit. Yeah. So thank you. He's been writing and recording since a tender young age. He's had a fair bit of success now writing for media projects, especially sports, professional basketball, highlights for television and commercials. He finished an electronica rock album in 2013 with two-time Grammy winner Trey Magalia, which is totally cool. He's been writing a lot and pitching at these sessions and getting great feedback. So we'd love to hear what you think of this and if it might be suitable for some of your projects, Jackie.
Sure.
So what would you like us to play first, Kit?
Well, I saw the reference to Gin Tonic, so I wrote one real quick, and I couldn't think of the name for an instrumental, so I called it That's What Wills Was Talking About. So,
okay.
Wait, you wrote one really quick, as in, like, right now, or did I write that in my brief? I think I wrote it in my brief. It was like, if he just turned the song around in 3 minutes, I'm going to be very impressed. Did I write it? Okay, good. I wrote it down. I was like, you're crazy. I can't handle you.
All right, so I'm sorry. Which brief is this for, Kit?
Okay, I know what it is.
Okay, yeah.
All right,
good.
Yeah. Okay, what should I listen to first?
That's what Will was talking about.
Okay. Music library to have. We don't use a ton of production style music like that, meaning, when I say production style, I mean, you know, instrumental, synthesized kind of instruments like that. It's tough. Like, I would say for me, there's not a lot I could do with something like that, just because there's not a ton of character to it. It would probably be something that I would skip over. But I do think that it's something that, like, a music library would probably want to have.
What, like, Extreme?
Yeah, or any of those, you know, Extreme, X-Ray Dog, Position, you know, God, there's so many of them.
Okay.
A simple, like, Google search would be the best. Just typing in, you know, production music libraries would be the best thing I would do with that. Not really something I would, it's not the kind of thing that normally gets pitched to us, so I don't really know what to say about it.
Okay. So it doesn't have...
I guess for us, like, we generally license stuff that sounds like a band. It's from a band.
A band.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a strictly instrumental production style song is just not something we're going to... Okay. We don't have a use for it.
Do you have anything with vocals, Kit?
You've known me for a couple of years, Tess. Do you think I have anything with vocals?
I'm not sure.
Well, I would love to still keep listening on this thing.
No, well, we're going to still listen to it.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll
okay. What should we get to next? St. Christopher's Journey?
Yeah, let's try St. Christopher. It was an orchestral song, but I've noticed a lot of kind of inspirational feel good.
A lot of music supervisors do use production music. We just don't.
Okay.
It's hard because it's honestly like an area of music that I'm not super familiar with, so I don't feel comfortable critiquing it. Just because I've really not heard enough of it because we just don't use a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the most appropriate place for you to pitch stuff like this other than just to production houses in general.
Well, trailers and so forth. Did I get you Holly Williamson's email address? I know she
Yes, you did. I actually sent her a couple of new tunes. So
okay. Like, has she responded?
No, not yet.
Okay. I'll ask her about that. Okay. So, I mean, I think production music is going to be more placeable in trailers.
Maybe,
probably.
Yeah.
Okay, but you seem to be very, very specific, which, you know, is fine.
Yeah.
But there's these guys, this agency is so cool. I mean, they're terribly cool. Okay. So, Extreme Position, X-Ray Dog, possibly some production music libraries.
Audio Machine is another really good one to check out.
Okay.
Also, you know, a lot of the people that I know that are, would you call yourself a producer or a writer or both? Or
writer.
A writer.
Okay.
I mean, I would say that a lot of, it's hard. Sometimes if I get something like this that's from a more of a production library standpoint, I like to ask, like, you know, this isn't great for us, but would you be someone who would be able to do a really good remix for us? That would probably be the one thing I would think would be most useful for us.
Okay.
When you say remix, what do you mean?
Like, if we had a song that we wanted to get a remix of, if the client wanted a more energetic version or just kind of like a dancey style remix or whatever.
Absolutely. Send it my way.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's
amazing. I just got to work on a big project like that.
Okay. Now, the first song that you played, that's what Willis was talking about. You just knocked that out in a day or two, right, kid?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you write real fast. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that's great to know.
All right. Now, Come and Play. I know I've heard that one, but let's see.
Yeah, it was just fun. So I threw it out there.
Let's see what John can do.
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, total trailer
style
song.
Okay.
I'll keep going. It's just like screams like manliness. So that's,
thank you.
Yeah. So that's good. Yeah, you know, definitely I hear it for trailers.
Did Holly hear this one, Kit?
I believe yes. I think that's the one you said.
Okay. All right. Good. We'll remind her about this one. Do you have anything else for us to listen to, Kit?
No, not tonight.
All right. Any questions for Jackie?
No, I appreciate her taking the time.
All right. Well, it's really nice for you to be with us, Kit. Can you stay with us and just listen in?
Absolutely.
All right, darling. Well, thank you very much. Good stuff. And if you want, I can get you a list of some production libraries. I mean, you might want to pitch there, and I mean, if you write so fast, you know, they could put you on their list, and you could start cranking stuff out, and I think that is a good possibility for you. All right?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Kit. All right, so we're going to take one or two more people and then a quick break. Let's see here. All right, so everybody kind of with us? Good. All right. Young Annie, here by way of New York. Annie calls her artist name is Endorphin Annie, which I love. So Annie is making a push into advertising music. She's got upbeat, quirky music, which I think, I mean, could work. I would love to see this find a huge, huge campaign, Miss Annie. So she's a folk alternative pop singer, and she's got 3 CDs out now, right?
Four.
Oh,
more set for a grant than the grant
you're running this year. You've been working
Orange
hard.
And an apple tree.
All right. Very nice. Are we going to hear any of the newest stuff today?
Well, here's the thing. I kind of read quickly, and I didn't notice you didn't. I have my Christmas CD, and I had a couple of things. They're, you know, probably advertising related for Christmas. One's probably mostly retail. The other one's kind of a Mumford & Sonsy kind of a Christmas song. I call it My Uncle Fezziwig song. So I would say, but it sounds like you don't really want words of Christmas.
We actually just got a redirect from the client today where they said they were open to more explicitly Christmas songs. So
you either want, one's kind of a more acoustic singer-songwriter, one's it's called In a Christmas Way, that just chants In a Christmas Way. It's kind of retail-y.
Cool.
Or I have the Mumford & Sonsy one, which is called Tonight Comes Christmas. So maybe play one of those.
I would like to hear both, actually, just because I have to work on that brief tomorrow.
All right, fine.
So
take them both.
Okay,
what's each one called?
In a Christmas Way and Tonight Comes Christmas.
This one in particular it won't work for what I'm working on, but it would be something I would keep, just because holiday music in general is, like, I mean, I love Christmas music.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I basically have a version of that that's really takes the verses out.
Yeah, that would be great.
Let's see what she has to say. She's about to
drop
a pearl.
No, no, I was about to just say that I'm Jewish, but I love Christmas. But yeah, I mean, that would be something that I would keep, just because Christmas music is, like, inherently cheesy, right? So you've got something that's, like, not super cheesy, which is great. It would be something I would keep for sure. It won't work for this brief, just because they want, like, manically energetic stuff.
Yeah, that's
okay.
But would be something I would keep for sure.
Can you come up with a manically energetic Christmas?
Well, try Tonight Comes Christmas. So it's a little Uncle Busy Wix.
Okay. All right. So let's hear Tonight Comes
slightly more like commercial, super commercial category, not something that we would save, but something I could so hear for like any other, I mean, yeah, retail, like Hallmark, Blade, you know, anything that's about like family and being, you know, needs to appeal to families and people of all ages. It's
right.
It's great. It's an original. I mean, also just making original Christmas music in general is good, because I think people are tired of hearing the same old like typical Christmas songs, you know, Jingle Bells or White Christmas or whatever. They're also tired of hearing covers of those in ads. So I think if you can bring something new to the game,
cool.
That's great.
Okay. Okay.
Plus, I don't think I've ever heard a Christmas song with like fiddle or banjo and that or whatever was in there. So
yeah.
Good for you.
Should play me my Christmas.
Yeah, the fiddle solo goes crazy later.
And Christmas songs are typically being looked for when June, July, August.
Yeah,
yes.
I would say
yeah.
We worked on our first Christmas spot in. What month is it? October?
No, we're in October yet.
Right.
Yeah, July.
July.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
But okay. We're still looking now. So.
Okay. Well, I have a whole CD of them.
All right.
Some covers too, but oh, yeah, that's all I'll do today. I'd like to do one of my kind of artist acoustic singer-songwriter songs, Being With You.
Okay.
All these are my artist songs.
Starbucks is the only coffee brand that we've worked with where they weren't necessarily looking for something like this, but I could hear them eventually needing something like this. Also, just in general, themes of togetherness are huge for ads. Just like God, being with you. I mean, that's great to have too. I would definitely suggest making a TV mix of just the folk and the
image of the
booze. Yeah. Perfect song for ads. Probably something that I would save for very select few uses where people are looking for something that's that commercial. But I think it's pretty and pleasant and lyrically on point.
Very pure vocal.
Yeah, really, really nice like clarity. Are you the one singing?
Huh?
Yeah, really beautiful clarity and tone to your voice too.
Good.
Great guitar.
Starbucks
that
too, by the way. $10 million. Hold out for a while.
That's okay. I would take it. I wouldn't care. And then for my last one, I have a question because I do a lot of covers.
Yeah.
You know what I call interpretive covers. So they sound like my songs, but they're not. And I have two that are, you know, both of them, the writer, the composers have expressed interest in helping me or being behind me if I get these placed in advertising. So I'd like to maybe start, or one's ukulele. You don't really want the, it's a duet with the ukulele?
We can skip the ukulele.
Okay, we'll skip that one. So let's do Beautiful Morning, which is a Rascal song.
Sure.
And Felix would love to have that.
This is cute album art, too. I like this.
Say, you know, that'd be good for advertising, so that's why I come to these, and actually these are great. It's good to get people to hear what my sound is like. But the cover route, I'm seriously considering doing a lot more of that. In fact, I might just come out with the next CD of just all my interpretive covers, and I really want to hopefully use that for advertising. I mean, is that going to be okay? Because sometimes people go, oh, no, don't give me covers.
I think we actually get requests for a lot of covers. I mean, a lot of people want something. Covers are great for ads because they sound familiar, but it's a new take on it, so you're not going to, like, tune it out. I mean, that's another reason why I think they're huge for movie trailers right now. If you're listening, there's so much, like weird songs, or, you know, rock songs that are covered in kind of, like, a weird, creepy lullaby way in a lot of horror movie trailers lately. That's, like, huge. The advertising way that it's used is kind of similar, just in that it's, like, engaging enough so that someone's like, oh, I kind of know that song, and so they're listening and they're watching, but it's new and it's different at the same time.
Okay.
I think, yeah, we definitely get asked to find, sometimes when we send music, we'll send the original and, like, a few covers, especially because of the budget. You're going to, you know, you're going to get way more bang for your buck if you go
with
a cover.
One thing I would like to do then, just, you know, real quick, is just to say, you know, if consider me that kind of thing, because that is... I did one a cover like that for a Super commercial, and it almost got
for Super.
Until they decided not to use Over the Rainbow, they decided to use something else.
Not the worst.
But I had a singer songwriter that was lined up to go at the agency.
Well, Annie, when you do...
So I want to, you know, if you need covers, you know, I can turn around and
change. But Annie, before you make your album of covers and spend money on production and what have you, just make sure that the publisher will...
Oh, I've done that. I always do that. In fact, I checked Felix Cavalieri on this. He said, yeah,
excellent.
I love it. So it's like, it's, you know, that's what I kind of want to...
Yeah, I would say also when we're looking for covers, we're not usually looking for something that sounds just like the original.
Right.
No, we're looking for a new interpretation or a new arrangement, something that makes it like distinctly yours.
And I usually like to cover a male song, for example,
because
of the female sounds.
Yeah.
Do you have a question, Julia?
Well, nothing. I just got excited when she said cover.
Yeah, I
know. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right.
My hand was probably...
Thank you, Annie. All right.
You.
We're going to zip on over to Julia before we take a break.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So Julia Riva on page 13 here. Apart from attending college with her very handsome son, which we found out later, Julia is... she is the granddaughter of Harry Warren, one of the most prolific composers, film composers of the last century. So That's Amora, I Love My Baby, Jeepers Creepers, We're in the Muddy, I Only Have Eyes for You, At Last. This man wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs.
Yes, he did.
And he scored hundreds of films, okay?
Well, he just wrote songs. He didn't write score.
Okay, well, his songs are in hundreds and hundreds.
Yes, they are.
So, she has that enormous legacy, and in addition to that, she's established Red Queen, a company, and what's the other one, 4J's?
Well, 4J's is Harry.
Okay, 4J's is Harry.
And Red Queen. But I also have now, in 4J's, we have some great Margaret Whiting. I don't know if you know who she was. She was a great singer in the... In the 40s, in fact, she has a great trailer out now.
Oh, awesome.
Well, let me explain, Julia, just to put this in perspective for Jackie. So she's got that fantastic catalog. She's got a new publishing company of independent, new
contemporary artists.
And she has a whole selection of contemporary artists doing Harry Warren covers, which I think is the key and what made me so excited about.
I did get my hand up real out there.
All right, so... And she's had loads of great placements in advertising. Wasn't that Zamora and
yes,
McDonald's?
Yes, that's Zamora. No, it was UPS.
UPS, okay.
That's huge. But they did all re-records for that, by the way. And they had, parody lyrics. The lyric was...
That's logistics. That's logistics.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good. So these are my Red Queen, because I went by your brief. So these are some Red Queen artists. One is Jessica Fletcher. This was kind of what you said you didn't want Christmassy stuff, so she's kind of, there are lots of bells in this.
Okay.
I guess it's...
Why don't we start with that? Jessica Fletcher,
yeah,
It's
Lots
So
of
Hard.
Love. It's So Hard.
Lots of Love.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Something I would really only use for a Christmas spot,
right?
I would only use an instrumental, but that would be something that would be great for me to have tomorrow.
Okay,
maybe call at the break and get an instrumental.
Yes,
excellent. So, what's next?
I guess we didn't have any fun rock songs, so we've got Lucy. They're great. They used to be. This is their new. Just put them on and see what you like.
Come on,
lo-fi rock like mm-hmm. that. I love Tame Impala and Portugal the Man and stuff like that.
Right.
It wouldn't be a song that would stick out to me, but it would be one where I would think if I had more time, I would listen to more from that artist.
Okay.
I think that it's certainly like on trend. People like that. So
yeah,
I like it.
It is.
Maybe more for film and TV.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's kind of like it's got the cool thing about it is it definitely has that kind of like swagger, which is a word that everyone loves to use in this field.
It is.
But it's not like, but it doesn't have that overused kind of like Black Keys-y swagger that I think all of us are like done.
True. Good. All right.
Next we have Allie Norton. She's, this.
Sellers?
It's Sellers, right. It's like electro pop, which fascinates me.
This is for brief number three.
Yeah.
Let's hear it, Sellers.
Some stuff. We worked on a couple spots for Coach a couple weeks back where they wanted kind of like sexy, dark electro pop like this.
Right.
It would have been something I would have pitched for that.
Can you hang on to it for another Coach?
I don't know if it's something I would hang on to, honestly, just because it's if we're going to go electro pop, we're usually going super high energy.
Right.
It's rare that someone wants something more down tempo for that. But if I had it back then, I would have pitched it.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like the album art a lot, too.
May I suggest or recommend, but it's up to Jackie and you, of course, that we do your Harry Warren.
You want to do the Undiscovered Harry that we...
Sure.
We found this Leslie Uggams recording of a song that was never a big hit, but...
Cool. What's it called?
It's called He Doesn't Know.
This is a re-record of a...
No, it's not. It's an original recording of Leslie Uggam singing a Harry song.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we love... I would say Gems is very popular for two things. One is, like, discovering really cool, emerging indie pop, electro stuff from around the world. Two is... older, obscure things from, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s that you've never heard before.
Well, that would be this.
Yeah, so this immediately is something where someone, if you had emailed me and said, never before heard, like, 1960s music,
right.
I would immediately be like, yay!
And that's what it is, basically.
Yeah, so just for us in particular.
LA Drums, Mundo Bizarro.
I can listen to them. Yeah, I'll listen to them.
All right.
You said you wanted Strange.
Yeah.
Spanish.
I love that it's in a different language. I don't know that it's something that we would pitch. I wish I could think of like a better. I think that honestly, the couple that I referenced here would be like the best examples of style that we're looking for.
Oh, okay.
It's great to have something that has lyrics in different languages because it makes us look really cool. But I think that song in particular wasn't current sounding enough. For us, we're kind of looking for like the really cool emerging stuff in other countries that's going up the charts.
Okay.
That one in particular, I would just think like, oh, that's cool, it's another language, but it's okay. Yeah, not strong enough.
All right. Well, then, any questions, Julia?
No, I just want you to know we have these great old things.
Yeah, I would love to hear more of the old
plus
stuff.
20s. I have lots of 20s.
Great. And you rep both sides of it?
Yes, I can get, they're easy clear.
Yeah.
I would give you easy clear.
Yeah, that's always really good to have. I would love to hear more of that.
All right. On that lovely note, we're going to take a quick break and then come back for the rest. So, Max is downstairs, and the whiskey is in the kitchen. I'm just kidding. All right. See you back here in about 5 minutes. All right?
Okay. So can I just say to these guys?
Of course, yeah.
I don't know if they're going to stay.
Kit, can you, Kit, Kenny, Michael, are you there?
Oh, geez, just like walked in front of the camera.
can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, okay, cool. I don't know if you're going to stay for the next part of it, but I just wanted to say thanks for, like, being in different states and wanting to hear what I have to say. It means a lot. So if I didn't have super positive feedback, I'm bummed, but it meant a lot that you guys tuned in from different places. That's really cool of you.
Well, if people have new music from time to time, can people get it to you? Do you prefer to reach out to them? What's your preference?
I think for me, I know, like, this is a great packet for me to have, but if we could have, like, one, you know, Excel sheet type thing that, you know, has, like, his name and her name and says, like, what their specialty is,
okay,
that's great for me to have because the likelihood of me replying to emails when we're this slammed is, I mean, we're so slammed right now. Like, I don't sleep anymore. So, like, it would be best to just know what your specialty is. Give me your email or, you know, how you assemble that, and that way I know.
Okay, yeah. Good.
But thank you, guys.
All right, you guys. So stay with us if you can. We're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, for part two of our session with the lovely young Jackie Schumann. She's really laying it down for us. This is great. We're getting thorough, frank, candid feedback. She's listening to your stuff like a shotgun, which is great. I mean, this is what she does day to day, and I think it's good to get a glimpse of a day in the life of a busy, busy supervisor. Julia Riva has put the screws to her staff to get that instrumental on your desk for tomorrow morning. The wheels are turning. This is fabulous. So, before we get to a little bit more listening, let's talk about a very important topic, money and budgets. Advertising and placement in advertising is still one of the areas in which it's possible to get very large fees. We know it's not always the case, but very often it is, especially if it's a national campaign, it's a global campaign, better. Large brands, you know, still set aside money for this sort of thing, and we hope that as much as possible will be set aside for the music. So can you talk a minute about budgets, what people can expect? I mean, you're working on all kinds of campaigns, small, medium, and large.
Yeah, I mean, we work as an independent company that's hired by ad agencies, mm-hmm. where each ad agency has, you know, anywhere from 2 to 20 brands they're working on. Budgets are so scattered. I mean, it's really hard to say. We work on stuff where we needed to clear for $40,000 for an entire year, all media worldwide.
Both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would say it's so hard because, like, I don't want to tell you something and then come to you with a lower budget.
Well, it's going to vary. We understand.
Yeah,
that,
I mean,
but
I think in general, like, you should not be accepting. And this is presuming that you're a band, you know, a full band with a real song, not something that took an hour to make in a production library or a couple days to make, just because I think that production style music does command different fees.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, you know, an artist or a musician and, you know, you've worked on a song and written the lyrics and all of that, or you're representing someone who does, I would not accept anything lower than $20,000 for like a year long campaign on TV.
All in.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the lowest of probably what I would accept, and that's really low. but I think for us, we've worked with things that are in the 20K range. We've worked with things in 40K. We've worked in $650,000 plus, million plus. It totally depends on the client. I think in general, people that can cut us a break when we have a lower budget are people that we're going to remember and we're going to go to when we have more money. In that same breath, I think that as an if you're an independent artist or you're an independent company, like, you should set a precedent for yourself. You know, if you don't want to take a $20,000 placement, don't take it. But, you know, nicely just say that, you know, we really would, you know, we do command higher fees for artists. That's just the kind of, you know, that's the place that we're at. Please come back when you need, you know, when you've got a little bit of a higher budget.
And that wouldn't put you off and cause you to not come back.
I think it's always, I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's annoying. But if you have good music, I will do my very best to hit you up with a better budget, you know? I mean, it happens all the time. People say, listen, I don't have anything at that budget. All the time. Even companies that I think should definitely be sending us stuff at that budget because no one knows who they are and we're trying to do them a favor. It happens. It doesn't immediately take them off my list. What would make me never go to someone would be if they said that something would clear, but it had a sample in it, and they didn't clear it. Or they said that something would clear, but then they've actually got a co-publisher or a co-writer that they didn't tell me about and it's going to cost twice as much. I would never go back to someone that put me in that kind of a position just because that could mean that I never get that client that I was working with again.
Right.
If that song falls through. So I would say keep an eye out for things that are going to drive the price of your music up. I worked with a rep a month ago where the client loved the song that I pitched, but the rep didn't realize that it was completely sample-based, and because I was so busy, I didn't really realize it either. And then not only was it completely sample-based, but it was obscure Turkish samples that were impossible to clear.
Oh,
and it was such a bummer, because I was like, dude, like, you're just going to, like, ruin my life for a little bit, you know? It was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's tangential. Budget's range.
But it isn't.
Yeah.
It is not. That's really important. If there's a co-writer or a major publisher or a sample, you have to make that clear up front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I'm seeing a lot more like online only campaigns. Mm-hmm. We're doing a ton of them. Like, this huge laptop spot that I'm working on tomorrow is for a huge brand, but it's online only. It's 8.5 weeks, and their budget is, you know, ideally like $15,000. I think that's completely fair. There are major label artists that are in contention for this spot with that budget.
Mm-hmm. And that's for the music. Okay.
Yeah, for the music. And that'll be all in again. But yeah, it totally ranges. You know, be flexible, but like, know your worth at the same time.
Well, here's the thing when it comes to negotiating or asking for more. Some supervisors, and you would only know this if you've developed a relationship with them. You can't know this meeting someone for the first time. Many supervisors will tell you exactly what the budget is. Say, this is what I can do for the song. It's $1,000 per side. I'm sorry, it's not much, but this is what it is. And then others will start low. And, you know, so which supervisor are you? Are you one who, because, you know, you're working on behalf of your client. You're trying to come in within a budget.
Yeah.
And how do you handle this?
I mean, I think that part of the reason we go to smaller companies is so that we can get things at a lower budget, you know.
Okay.
And part of the reason we go directly to artists is because we want things at a lower budget. It makes the client very happy when we can get something under their budget. With that said, if people ask me, so yes, the short answer to your question is I do go low sometimes when I'm dealing with independent companies. But that's not to say that we like are devaluing anything. We just, you know, we know that it's worth a little bit less because maybe it's not a top 40 song, or, you know, we know that that flexibility should be allowed for a situation like that. But when people do say like, oh, that's really low, like, is there anything left? I will absolutely tell them,
okay,
yes, like, we do have a little bit more.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not uncommon to approach lower for an indie band. I think that's fair.
Yeah, well, my advice is, whatever the offer is, say thank you so much. Is there perhaps a bit more in your budget?
Yeah.
I would always, always, always politely ask for more. And I was just on a panel with a couple of supervisors, whereupon one of them said that would put her off if she was working with someone for the first time. And I thought that was not fair, but that's the risk you take. So me personally, politely ask for more. That's my advice.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, the phrase we hear all the time is like, do you guys have any wiggle room here? That's a fair way to ask. It is annoying, but like, whatever. At the end of the day, if it's a good song, you've got good music, like, who cares? You know, I'm going to go back to you. If you're dealing with a supervisor that's going to be put off by that immediately, they're not worth your time anyway.
Sometimes they are, but it's a drag, you know, because you can't know everything going in. You just do your best. All right, let's get back to some more music. So, Aradia, is that how we pronounce your name?
Aradia.
Aradia. Okay, so as in Iridium, but with an A. Aradia.
I just say Aradia, okay. But with an A.
Aradia, but with an A. Very cool. Okay, so Aradia, here for the first time. So glad to have you. Miss EDM and New Wave. So you have just been featured on the Music Connections Hot and Signed Live 100 Artists of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've just released your first full-length album, Citizen of Earth, and several of the songs have been recognized and nominated for awards. That's fabulous. And similar artists, I take it these are sound-alikes. Eli Golding, Lily Allen, Santi Gold. Is that what you mean by those references?
Yeah.
Okay, fabulous. What are we going to hear first from you today? On Fire?
I was thinking that, but then you mentioned the weird, so I thought maybe we'd start with Keep On.
Okay, sure. No problem.
Keep On. This one was, I was thinking of the last brief that was the, like, international. It's in English, though. Okay.
If I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, oh man, I really like this. I love that it's unique, but I can't do much with it because it doesn't get to that point that would make it energetic enough for a spot about music or a spot about dancing. I think a remix is a great way to solve that if you don't want to go back and dive into the whole composition reworking thing.
Give her some notes. Make it more upbeat.
I mean, I think it's got to, like, pick up. I was expecting it to pick up around, like, a minute and 50, you know, maybe a little bit later, maybe a little sooner. Again, hesitate to give production advice because, like, I'm not a musician. I'm not a producer. I admire anyone who creates music. I can't. I've tried. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like the intro's so cool. You never hear a song that's going to start out like how it starts out and end like how it ends. But I think it's just got to get, like, you need some serious, like, back-end production coming in there to, like, bump that up and turn it into, like, a dance anthem.
Okay.
If it were that, I would save it. As it stands, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Even with the coolness of the intro and the outro?
Yeah, it's just not.
Okay, so turn it into a dance anthem. Can you do that?
You you already pretty much have it. You just need to get, like, one really remix done. Like, that guy could probably do it for you, yeah.
Kit?
Yeah, why
not? Kit, can you do a dance anthem for us? I think we got a yes. All right. Good. I'll make sure the two of you connect.
And that's something, too, it's not uncommon. You know, sometimes, like, I love the song Busy Earning by Jungle. It's, like, one of the best songs of the last year. I wanted to keep pitching it for stuff, but it just wasn't energetic enough. So, like, I found a kick-ass remix that someone did on SoundCloud, and that's what I pitch now, you know? And if that's going to go, like, that remix is going to get a ton of money. You know, it's not a bad thing that that song needs a remix.
Okay. Okay, good. So, that would be great, Aradi, if you could do that. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, each one of you here, now, as most of you know who've attended, we do little one sheets on each of you. So she has your song credits, your bio, your contact information, photos, so she can remember who you are. She she's also asked me for a little spreadsheet with your name and what your style of music is or what you represent. So if you could either write that down and give it to me before the end of the session, I would really appreciate that, or email me, or I think, do we have a, can you tear out a sheet of paper, Paula, and just
sure
have
can.
Folks pass that around?
So and name,
Kit,
yeah, yeah. Like your name, your email address, your website, and like what your specialty is going
to
be the.
You guys place. Don't have to put email and website. I already have that. Just give me your your name and your specialty.
Okay.
All right, and Kit. And Kenny and Mike, if you could email me that, that would be fabulous. I'm going to compile that in a little spreadsheet for Jackie that I'm going to make sure she has with the folder of your music. All right? A short sentence of your specialty, no more than two. It's got to be simple. All right? Fabulous. All right. What's next, my dear?
I guess On Fire.
On Fire? Okay.
The closest thing I could think of would just be to kind of like, again, maybe a remix treatment, just because it is common that we're looking for like trap type stuff or like really, you know, I mean, like maybe a trap remix of that song. I know it's so annoying, but like,
yeah.
I just, as it stands, yeah, I wouldn't really be able to do anything with it. Just because I think it's something that people would dance to in real life. I just don't see it really working.
I remember Ryan Fitch saying when he was at Saatchi & Saatchi that four on the floor type rhythms don't work in the advertising.
Right.
Is that, okay.
Okay.
So when you do your dance anthem, not that.
That's good to know.
Yeah. I'm like, who would think that? I never knew. Okay.
But like, I could see dudes in West Hollywood dancing to that. Like, it was their jam, if it's any consolation.
Right. That's why that was actually, it was for Phil's friends.
Okay.
You're good.
Great. What's next, my dear?
Let's see. So I've got, is Today in there?
Yeah.
And then, so Slow Your Roll is like, okay, that one's like the world's newy throwback. I
Which one
sure.
do you
okay.
want?
I don't know. I guess Today.
I'll play this one. ABC Family, MTV show. You know, budgets for TV are generally less than ads, but like the exposure is great, especially if you can get on an MTV show. They usually do the chyron on the bottom that's like, we'll say your name and whatever. Same with VH1. Like, it's so worth the placement, even though it's a little bit less money. I could hear that on any show, and I think a lot of people would look it up and want to know what it is. Like, I would, for sure. Again, one of those songs that like makes me bummed out that I don't work in TV or film, because I really like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm trying to get someone from CW.
Yeah.
By the way, who was it? I mentioned the music supervisor whose name I couldn't remember from ABC. It's Trisha Halloran.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she'd be... Have you had her in here yet?
No, but we will.
She's great. Yeah.
All right. Trisha Halloran.
Okay.
She's over at ABC.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. What's next, my dear?
So Slow Your Roll is like a hip-hop-y thing. I wouldn't turn that one on yet. I think probably Burn is better.
Okay.
Just for brief number two, the like frenetic...
Sure.
Upbeat rock music.
Yeah, okay. Not really the style of rock that we're looking for. Did you get a chance to listen to those records?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so you can hear the stylistic difference then.
Yeah, it's hard to know because they were kind of diverse, like within
yeah.
the comparison.
That's true.
Within the, so I wasn't sure.
I think that. Let me listen to one more time. I think if you're gonna make like aggressive female rock like this, there's two people making it right now that would be really good examples of that, and that would be Dorothy and Jen Wigmore. I think there's definitely a place for this kind of like female-driven rock, hard rock. That Gatorade spot that I mentioned earlier, like they wanted a lot of that kind of stuff. So there's a place for it. This song in particular, I don't think is like of the right style,
mm-hmm.
but I think if you're capable of writing something like that, it's definitely like an area you should consider writing more like.
Oh yeah, I have a ton.
Yeah. The reason I don't think this one is successful, it's just honestly that it's really generic sounding. Like,
okay.
It's just too mainstream rock and roll. I think the production on it, like, it just doesn't sound current.
Okay.
But yeah, like, that song Wicked Ones by Dorothy, like, oh, so many people want us to find something like that right now, and the production on it's great, it's really badass, and, yeah.
Did you say you have a ton of this around
you? Yeah, I have two CDs of with that.
Would you want to hear a little bit, or is...
I would say if it's in this style, I don't have use for it, but if you wrote new stuff, I would listen.
That's like the most, like, you know, almost 80s hairband
yeah,
rock
exactly
sound.
80s,
the
yeah.
other stuff is I would compare it more to, like, Paramore meets Arctic Monkeys. Or
mm-hmm. I think Arctic Monkeys is something we could work with. The Paramore kind of, like, pop-punk leaning stuff, we never get
okay.
for that.
Yeah, some of it's definitely not, like, less... There's Yeah, I've got songs that are in both.
I would say if I need one-stop rock with female vocals, I would feel like that's my girl that I'm going to email about it. But I would probably keep it for the library.
That makes sense.
Okay. One-stop rock, female vocals in your little description.
Yeah, that's a great way to summarize what you've got.
Awesome. I don't know who would be interested in this, but I'm just mentioning it because I have them. I have two, dance/dubstep versions of Christmas songs, but they have like velvet in it and everything.
That's
no,
so
I,
funny.
I did Sleigh Ride and All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That's hilarious. I love that. I mean, we don't have a use for it right now, but something like that, if you can come to us and even if I don't need it, if you're like, I have a dub, a Christmas song, I'm going to be like, okay, hold on a second. Like, I'm going to read that email. You know, you're I mean, I can't speak to people in TV and film. I don't know how busy they are. I'm sure they're really busy. But for us in particular, like, it's hard to wade through, like, the stuff that sounds like all the other stuff we're getting. That's why, for me, it's like, if I get an email from someone that says, like, I have this weird thing that you might not have used for, but you can still hear, I'll at least be like, okay, well, when I need weird stuff, I'll go to this person. Or when I need something unexpected, I'll go for this to this person. So, yeah, I mean, knowing that you have weird stuff like that, like, don't hide that. Just be like, I've got Christmas dubstep. That's so weird. I love it.
I'd like to hear it myself.
Is it on here?
It's on my SoundCloud.
Okay. Well, I will look at it for sure.
Okay, so make sure you guys connect on that.
Yeah,
that two of the words that come up the most for music placement searches are unique.
Yeah.
And these days, swagger. So
yeah.
In a short poll of a number of supervisors, unique and swagger. All right. Thank you very much, my dear.
Thank you.
And I hope the arm gets better.
Oh, right. Thank you.
So, young Megan Gross, representing Jimmy Deere, Dance Off, Pants Off. I can't stop thinking about this song title, and I wish I could have heard it in the privacy of my office before coming, but I didn't have time. So, Megan is here representing Jimmy Deere, producer-writer, and they also co-write and perform together and tour the country, as it were. So, Jimmy has had literally hundreds and hundreds of placements. He's had Billboard Dance number ones with Roy Davis Jr. He's worked and collaborated with multi-platinum artists like NDRE, 3-6 Mafia, Seal, and others. And he works incredibly fast, produces, and at a recent session, he was picked up for representation by one of our guest music supervisors for his covers, because he does these really awesome covers. Isn't that cool? Doesn't mean he won't do one for you, though. He might do an exclusive. Or non-exclusive. I don't know. So, Megan, what are we going to hear first?
Let's go with the first one. He actually did three new compositions for the first three briefs.
And he's working up until 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Impressive.
Yes.
Good to know.
So, yeah, let's start with the first one.
Skating on Thin Ice. Mm-hmm.
My critique would be that it needs to be rock, and this is electropop, you know? Like, having Vampire Weekend be the ref and then hearing something that's really more... That intro is really good. I guess, like, not that it's electropop, it's a little bit more, like, funky than what we're going for, like... Here's what's perfect about it. It has the little bit of holiday instrumentation, which we needed. So it sounds like not a straightforward holiday song, but enough holiday that they'll use it, which is exactly what they wanted. So he totally nailed that. If he were to rework it, which I would never ask someone to do for no money, so I would hope that he wouldn't. But... well, first of all, it's a 15-second spot, if that's any consolation. So this is a 30-second demo, but it would only be 15. I think that's what I'm not liking. The, like, part in there. That's why I don't make music. It's just a little bit too, like, synthy. But honestly, like, let me just listen to the first 15 seconds one more time, since that's all we need. This would be completely something I would pitch if the bells that came in at 10 seconds came in a lot sooner and were, like, throughout the song, and if there could be some, like, vocal chants on there, like, hey, hey, yeah, yeah, which, if he wants to rework it and send it, that's great. I don't like to ask people to do things on stuff like that. I just think it's a little bit exploitive, but hey, if he wants to do it, I'll take it. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a personal choice, depending on how busy you are and all that. But I think it also shows a very good faith effort that you're willing to, you know, go the distance.
Yeah.
And you want to get on her brief list.
I mean, the fact that you turn that around like that. And
yeah, he's fast. Very fast.
Great.
Working 24/7. All right. Have him do that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the very specific feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. The Jackie Schumann remix.
Okay. What's next? If you can call it that, too, that would be great.
Yeah, yeah.
I recommend that people do that. because then you know she'll listen to it because it's got her notes. What's next, Megan?
Let's listen to Studio 24/7, which is for the third.
You're gonna make me wait for the pants off.
Sorry.
Is this guy? Are you guys LA based? To hear what it sounded like with a, this is me being super nitpicky, but like with the super high-pitched sample, I think that it sounds a little bit too old disco. Maybe if there was like a more, like the Jax Jones Yeah 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 samples Nina Simone, which is a bummer because I can't really pitch it, but that's like her register is a lot lower, it's a little bit more soulful, and I think that juxtaposition of like a soul sample with this like disco manic energy song is what makes that song so successful. I love that that sample is in a cleared sample pack though, that's great. Definitely something I would keep as is, but it could be worth it to have another version with a different sample in there too.
Cool.
Or maybe a couple different samples. If they're all cleared and like you bought them, like don't be afraid to go like crazy with the samples. Layer it on, make it a little bit more manic, a little frenetic. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
It's one of the first things she says she'll keep, right? That's great.
No, I said I'll keep a few more things.
A few, okay. That's good. That's a high bar. That's good. Okay. Different samples, lower register.
How long did it take him to make that?
He worked on those like over the past couple days.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I would say within 48 hours.
I think he emailed me on Friday or Saturday saying, "Where's the brief?" And I said,
"Oh, I gave him the brief." So.
But I said, "Well, Megan has it." Didn't
I think you? Yeah. No, you gave it to me, but I think he wanted to see like the specific wording of it.
Well,
yeah.
The point is that he didn't have it for a couple of days after it, so he's been had less than a week to do this.
Yeah, that's great. So cool that he turned that around. It's so stylistically similar to the brief. Really good to know for custom compositions.
Okay.
That's kind of
all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's next, Megan?
Okay, for you, hands off.
Thank you.
For this is for the second.
That's interesting to me because that one actually sounds a little bit more holiday to me. Maybe because there's like a tambourine. Okay. That thing?
Yeah,
yeah.
Same
thing. To this, I will keep it. I don't see it. I don't think it's strong enough or unique enough to be a rock song of the caliber that like these references were. You know, the Vaccines, the Bods, Tweens, any of the cool kind of like punky stuff that we're pitching these days. But if you want to add bells to that, I will pitch it for the brief I'm working on tomorrow.
Okay.
Cool.
Excellent. All right. What's next?
Let's listen to Right Kind of Love. This is our duo.
Cool.
And that's for number four.
Wow.
Jimmy's going to be in touch with Jackie. I just have a feeling. So,
cool.
Next up we have Jake, darling. Hello. All right. So, Jake.
You want to sign the list?
Okay. Fabulous. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
So, Jake is a frequent flyer here. He works with Angela Rose White at David Rose Publishing. David Rose wrote all the music for Bonanza, okay. Little House on the Prairie.
Wow.
Holiday for Strings, Stripper is one of his, you know, most famous works. It's been synced a zillion times. So they have all original recordings, and they've also done re-records,
yeah.
I think, to make them a bit more affordable with fewer than 4,000 players, which runs into money, unions, and so forth. But, so Angela Rose White obviously represents her father's catalog,
yeah.
And they also have some new artists. One of the key guys on their roster now is Paul Casey, whom I think we'll be hearing from tonight. But what do you want to play first for us, Jake?
Well, we have two tracks from David Rose and two from Paul Casey. So let's do Paul Casey first, Big World.
Big World, okay.
Yeah.
Irish singer-songwriter.
And this is contemporary?
Yes.
Also, just one more note to everyone. If you are a contemporary artist, I would say that when you're pitching your music, if it's not released yet, say that it's 2015 or whatever year that we're currently in, because if you're sending me something that's contemporary but it's from 2009, I'm probably not going to pitch it to a client just because they want us to feel like we've got our finger on the pulse of new music.
Okay.
So if you are an independent artist and you're not putting out music that's not on iTunes yet or whatever, put whatever the current year is.
Okay.
Really quality production, good song. It's interesting. It's like orchestral, and then turns into that like,
nice. It's like
rock.
Two versions.
Yeah. Perfect for trailers. Definitely not something I would use for an ad, just because we're usually not fortunate enough to work with a long enough spot where that arc can really pay off. But like trailers are so perfect for that. I mean, that would be something I think I could definitely hear it in a trailer, and if I were working trailers, which I almost did, I would grab that for sure.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Great. Let's do Holiday for Strings.
Okay.
David Rose.
Thank you.
simpler times. Like, I love, like, cinematic, which I love. I mean, I think that immediately when you listen to it, it puts you in a mood, right? It's like so distinct. I'm like trying to think of what I could use. It would be one of those songs where I would be like, I don't know what I could use this for, but I'm going to figure it out. So I like it.
Well, okay. Hang on to it.
Yeah,
I would hang great. On to it. And this is a re-record?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Excellent.
What's that?
It makes me want to go shopping.
It just, puts you in a good mood.
Like, it makes me want to go to, like, Manhattan and just buy everything.
So ice skating on the Rockefeller.
Yeah, it definitely has that energy about it. And it's also like it's just a little bit comical, like in a way that it could work really well. And like because juxtaposition is so common in ads and in TVs and movies and all that. So like it could work really well for even a scene where like they're going on a killing spree. Honestly, like it's because it's just so happy, you know. Like, it's great.
Angela would love that.
All right. So, what's next?
She
Jake?
Would like that.
Let's do "Walk with Me" by Paul Casey. We edited it to 30 seconds, so.
Okay. Again, something that I think would work way better for TV or film. Something I could totally hear in TV or film. We just don't generally have a lot of kind of like mid-tempo stuff. For us, it's kind of like really manically energetic or like beautiful, slow, swelling building. Like, okay. That mid-tempo area is really hard to find a place for us in ads.
That's interesting.
It's good to know. Some of the other Dave Rose stuff we had is like that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think also, this is what, like, this is like blues rock, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like...
Is it possible to give you like a, that "Walk with Me"? Is that usable at all? Like maybe a different bed of music instead? But is the vocal usable? Do you like that at all?
It's definitely a good question. Let me think about it for a second. I think that lyrics about, "Walk with Me," it's hard because I'm hearing it so much in the context of this song.
Sure.
I definitely think like a "Walk with Me" lyric could work really well for like a spot about travel, maybe, but it's not a common, people aren't usually asking us for lyrics about walking or something like that. I just don't see it being useful for us, especially like just that kind of blues rock style is just so much more common for like film and TV. I mean, even 2 days ago we were working on a spot for a beer commercial and they specifically said they didn't want blues rock, which I would think beer commercial, middle American men, blues rock, obviously, like gold mine, but they didn't want it. So just something to keep in mind. I think that people are just, their ears are getting a little tired of hearing it, unfortunately, but I think TV shows are still using a ton of it.
Okay.
He's a really soulful singer-songwriter. I mean, he's played some of his heavier stuff, but he's got some other beautiful, beautiful songs. So, all right, well, shall we get to the Christmas tree song from Dave Rose?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
These recordings are great. They sound like they could be old. They sound like they could have been big hits, but they will maybe be more affordable. Those are...
Yeah, well, Angela has a vault of this stuff.
No, it's great. Great to have. Definitely something I would keep. I'm trying to think of why... I'm worried that my love for Christmas is interfering with how much I'm loving this song. But either way, that's great, because it means that I will keep it.
Okay. Good. Well, just make sure, you know, she gets more of that.
Yeah, Jake. Say some stuff.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, now we go to Miss Rasha. All right, Sasha, how are you?
Good.
Welcome. Okay, Sasha, on page 10, you've got to look at her bio. I mean,
I read that. It was very impressive.
Very impressive people here today. Okay, so she's charted. She's at a number 3 on the Billboard charts.
What Billboard chart was that? Like, what category?
It was Hot Dance Sales.
Cool. Hot Dance Sales, okay. So she's had an American tour, performed in front of crowds of over 300,000, shared the stage with people like Icona Pop, Adam Lambert, and others. She's been merging pop and EDM. She's now collaborating with Grammy winners Tricky Stewart, Jack Knight, Poet Named Life. These guys have worked with and written for Rihanna, Beyonce, Black Eyed Peas, Mary J. Blige, and tons of others. And she calls herself, in a sense, a female version of Calvin Harris, producing, writing, and singing her own song. So this is impressive. What are we going to hear first, Sasha?
Cold Nights.
You would know about that. Yeah, I should.
Which is tough, because then you're dealing with like two very different
elements.
Yeah, like I mean, I think that immediately, like, you know, the first. I want to just talk about the first like 30 or 40 seconds. I think it's really cool because it's. Also, like, kind of has that timeless quality. Like, that could be a lounge, a remastered lounge song that I had never heard before, and I would probably believe it. I think, like, brands that immediately came to mind for me were, like, Godiva and, like, Stella Artois and Yoplait, and, you know, because it sounds French, you know? It sounds like sexy French boudoir music. So I think that it's really... I think making like a 15-second edit of that, or like a 30-second edit, would be really good to have in your catalog. I'm trying to think of like other bands it would be good to compare it to. I mean, like the way I would categorize it, like if I were to tag this in my library, I would say like flirty, lounge, throwback.
Do you know Bitter to Sweet?
Mm-hmm. That's is that a band that you would say it sounds like?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know that one in particular, but I think it's, I don't hear a lot of stuff like this, so then my ears always perk up because I'm like, okay, cool, I don't have that. This is filling a deficit in my library that I need.
So you'll hang on to this?
I would hang on if you, yeah, I would probably make my own 30-second edit of it, and then I would toss the rest. We do that a lot. But the ending, after that, yeah. So maybe making a 60 edit, too, that just kind of eliminates, like, I know the rap is kind of what makes it cool and unexpected, but it's hard because, like, most of the time when you're dealing with advertising, they're not going to want something that has that dramatic of a shift in genre within one piece,
yeah.
Unless the spot has that in it. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. I like it. I would keep it, for sure.
Very good. Okay.
All right.
So second one is Gotta Be.
Yeah, like those really cool vocal, like, lick samples that come in. So close, but might just need a remix treatment.
Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard because, like, I want it mainly so, like, I can listen to it for fun, but I'm trying to think of what I would use it for at the same time. Yeah, I do think that there's stuff that we could use it for. We're working on quite a few big spots for social media company right now, where, like, they want that really just, like, electronic based dancey stuff that's gonna have, like, a major crescendo.
It's also two build ups in that song.
Okay, basically. Yeah, I might listen to it again later.
Yeah. So Sasha, if she gives you notes, can you work with her and turn it around?
Absolutely.
Quickly? Okay, I'd give it a shot, and I think it's instructive. It's hard when you're the artist, although everybody here seems completely open to redoing stuff. You make stuff first as an artist because it's cool and it's what you feel, et cetera, et cetera. But if you can take notes from someone and set your personality and your ego aside, not that I see any major egos in this room, I mean, strong people, but not egotistical, just make
it's actually helpful.
Make it usable for them, you know, just set ego aside and create the utility they want. Put the crescendos where they want them, put the bells where they want them. You know, if you can deliver what they want, then it's going to be that much more placeable. And the ideal situation is when you're working with someone like Jackie, who can communicate directly with the client, say they hate the ukulele, no ukuleles, put in an acoustic guitar. I mean, if you hadn't heard her say that, you never would have known, right? But if someone can give you those exact instructions and you can follow them, you are going to get placement after placement after. You're going to get all the opportunities in the world. So I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be hesitant to tell you guys to run out and pay someone to remix your songs, like, as it stands. I think that, like, I have a pretty good memory, like, knowing if I've got someone that needs EDM and, like, I've got two great roles that have it, like, I would reach out to you and say, mm-hmm. you know, hey, time is now. Like, can you hire a remixer, or can we, you know, can we pay you someone to do it on a demo or whatever it is?
Do you ever look for kind of big room EDM tracks?
What's
like
a big
room? Avicii, like?
Oh, so rarely. Yeah, like so rarely. The reason why this is better than that is because. The way that those samples are chopped up is just really on trend right now. Like, we love a lot of stuff like that. That's why I'm drawn to it. I think that that's what makes it better than your typical, like, huge Avicii-type song. Also, because it's a female vocal, and, you know, I would say, like, most DJ stuff, it feels really, like, masculine.
So you would just like to make it a little bit shorter and kind of more predictable, right? Like,
I think, like, even if you... I mean, for us, like, we make gems versions of our songs all the time. Like, it's been a huge... I mean, it's a new thing for me. Like, I did not come from a production background. I've had to learn how to, like, use Adobe Premiere to create the most dynamic 60-second, 30-second edit of a song possible. And, like, if I can learn how to do that, and I am, like, practically retarded, like, any of you should be able to figure out how to do that. I mean, Adobe Premiere is, like, $30 a month to have in the cloud. And I taught myself how to use it, and, like... That's like for smart people. Good for you. I think, you know, if you can make like a 30 or 60 second edit of that song, it's like in its most dynamic, it has those builds and peaks and valleys like within that 30 seconds, that's something that's great to have. And it's something that's great to have for you too, so that when you pitch your music, you're like, I know my shit. This is a 60 and a 30 and a 15. That's great to have.
Wonderful. Let's get to your next song because we're kind of out of time and I don't want to shortchange anyone else. So
on and on.
On and on.
So yeah, this would kind of be that like clubby sound again that we don't really have a big use for, which was kind of the issue with a couple of your songs too. Like, I could hear them playing in a club, no problem, but for us, it's just not a common need for the type of stuff that we work on.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I think the ideal is to find episodic television shows where they occasionally have clubs.
That's such a good... I would not have thought to say that.
And that's what you put that in.
Yeah.
So that's who you pitch it to.
Yeah, there are so many shows that need, you know, diegetic sounding music like that. It sounds like it's coming out of speakers, at a party, at a bar, or whatever. Totally great suggestion.
All right. And then I'm the boss.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, you fall in love with me. Like a butterfly with a heart. Do yourself to get my wish. I let you
It kind of has like Charlie XCX vibes, which is great, because music supervisors love her. For me, again, like, it's just a little bit too EDM for the kinds of stuff that we normally work on. And, I mean, I think that if you watch advertisements, it is rare that you hear stuff like that, you know? So, yeah, probably more of a TV type use.
So Cold Nights and Gotta Be are the keepers for you.
Yeah.
The first two.
Yeah. Yeah, the other two were just a little bit too far into that genre.
Okay. Is that all clear to you, Sasha?
Yeah, but I really liked that, whatever the one that I spent the most time listening to.
Gotta
was that
be.
One?
Gotta
yeah,
be.
I really like that.
Okay, good. So we can get that reworked, and she'll have it all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
All right, excellent. Thank you. All right, over to Radhika. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Radha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Radha is short for Radhika.
Yeah, my legal name is Radhika.
Got it. All right. So Radha, welcome to you. Our one of our few MBAs. Very nicely done. You chucked it all and you've gone into music and filmmaking. I'm so proud of you. So, all right, so she's a singer-songwriter for EDM. This is her first pair of sessions, so I can't wait to hear this. She had one of her songs featured on iHeartRadio, Artists to Watch.
Cool.
She's performed for huge crowds of people, over 25,000. You were voted the best. You opened for the Exit Festival in Serbia, one of the best European music festivals. That is so cool.
What was that like? We'll talk about that after.
Amazing.
Serbia. I feel like that's the place to go to an EDM festival, right? Like, whoa.
Incredible. So, you're here for the first time. You also work with a duo called Renaissance.
Yeah, so I'm part of a duo.
You're part of a duo. Yeah. So, what are we going to hear first from you tonight, my dear?
American Dream.
Okay, cool. Just one more thing before I react. For the more like EDM leading artists, promos are also a really great area to target. Most major networks have their own music supervisor that just handles promos. Like one that I would think of in particular would be E. They use a lot of like high energy electro type stuff for the promos for like keeping up with the Kardashians or like any of those other shows that are on there. Yeah, that like high energy girly electro sound would be great to target for promos that lean to people of that demographic, you know.
Scott McDaniel over at NBC Universal.
Oh, he did?
It's an Apple. How crazy is that?
I know. Okay. He, like, didn't tell anybody. It was weird.
Okay. He got here, he didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, you know who's there now is Matt Mugford, who was at Disney.
Okay.
But I don't know if I would target NBC. I would target E! Network. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just saying that Scott was the guy who did promos at NBC.
Yeah. There's always one designated person at each network that's going to do it. I think, I'm trying to think of more like female-leaning networks. Bravo, maybe? Bravo, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, NBC might handle the promos for Bravo, so. But yeah, it's not hard to find those people's email addresses. I don't want to give you them because I will get yelled at. But if you can. I mean, when I was a pitch person, like, I used to just, like, try four or five different ones until I would get the right one. Use LinkedIn to your advantage, you know, type in, you know, Google Music Supervisor Promos NBC Universal. You'll probably find out who does it.
Yeah. Yeah, but each of the networks has their own, because they run promos for their TV shows.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of time, so, like, if you can specifically say, like, I think this would be great for Scream Queens promos, or I think this would be great for keeping up with the Khloe Kardashian Miami, whatever it is. You know, whatever, like, be specific so they're like, okay, that's what it works for. They took the time to be specific, so I'll take 30 seconds to listen. I always will listen if someone is specific.
Okay.
You know.
Be specific. Very nice.
All right. What am I listening to?
American Dream.
Okay. She's not specifically saying, like, you know, it's not too on the nose.
Yeah.
issue of like the lyrics seem to be in the wrong context. Like, I Will Rise is such a like uplifting, motivational, anthemic type lyric, but then you've kind of got this badass, darker electro song under it. Mm-hmm. So my mind is kind of like, shoot, I don't know what to do, because the lyric that it would work, the brief that it would work for lyrically, the genre would exclude it from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's tough. I think that instrumental is super strong though, and it sounds like so much stuff that we worked on lately. Yeah, really, really strong instrumental. Like, yeah, it's just tough.
I've got the instrumentals for it.
Yeah, that's
the
acoustics. Yeah, I think if you want to write really like positive, uplifting stuff, you should consider maybe even just making. You can still make it EDM, but maybe just like an even happier. Because this is kind of badass, right? It's good, but maybe like if you're gonna write a positive song, it's got to sound positive. Which I hate saying, because I couldn't. Like, I'm not a musician, and I couldn't sing that well, and I couldn't make this song, but that's my feedback.
The next song.
But that's just for placement purposes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I Can't Let Go is a little bit happier.
Okay, cool. I'm not gonna sing it, so just go listen to it.
Yeah.
At this point, it could be like, his chorus goes like, yeah, in a pretty much identical like way. So, that's kind of your strongest part of the song, and I would, if you did ever tweak it, I would want like those affirming, maybe like, hey, yeah, whatever lyrics over that, because it's so fun and like bouncy and it kind of like makes you want to do this, you know? Another instrumental, I would say, if it had more like chants over that part that I highlighted earlier, I would also save that version of it too. But yeah, I think that's great. It's like a super uplifting, fun EDM pop song. A challenge to you. EDM is just a challenge for ads, you know, but it's such a popular genre in general. Like, I don't think you would have a problem finding a placement for that in TV.
I mean, so I'm working on finishing my second album, because that was part of my first album.
Yeah.
It definitely has, like, EDM soul to it.
Yeah.
I would love to pitch it to you at a later point.
Yeah, for sure.
Pitches.
Do it.
Okay. The last song, I guess, is a totally different genre. It's world. But it's, you know, visualizing, so.
Cool.
It's Chakra and A, I think.
S-C? Hold on, I think there's another one.
It's are there both of them there?
I don't know.
Yep, I got it.
A?
That's okay. Okay.
Jackie Entes recommended it. Okay. she'll ignore it if it's from me, but she'll take it seriously.
I mean,
no, I'm kidding.
I would say, like, EA is tough because they don't do a ton of, like, I think this works really well for, like, violent, violent imagery, right? Like, so I'm trying to think of, so Activision obviously makes, like, Call of Duty and stuff, so you could pitch it to, like Brandon Young or Katie Sippel at Activision. I would say Activision would be a better place to target than EA. Again, those email addresses are really easy to find on the internet. But yeah, something like that's like so beautiful and like exotic and heavenly and like celestial. I think those work the best when people are like killing each other. which would be terrible if those were like, if that was like a beautiful Hindi song about peace, I feel awful right now. But yeah, it's gorgeous. I think that's definitely video game trailers is where I would pitch it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Any questions? Very good. Now, we have three people left, and I deeply regret to inform you that while we're a little bit over time, and I made a misjudgment.
We have three or one?
Three. There's two people who aren't here.
Oh.
Okay. And the reason is, because you were going so quickly at first, I figured we could get to four songs in person, and then she started giving more and more feedback, and I hate to cut that off because I think it's positive. So I do apologize that we've gone over time, but that is why, if that's all right with you. So... I don't want to short shrift anyone here, especially Paula, who's shivering here.
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep away.
No, we do appreciate the feedback, but there are Paula and two more people.
Sure.
So, just so you know.
Yeah.
All right. Great feedback for Radha. Welcome to your first merit session. All right, Paula, over to you, my dear. Another one of our frequent flyers, recently transplanted from the East Coast to where it's nice and hot here.
Moved in today.
Oh, did
welcome.
You?
Welcome.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's why I'm jittery, because I'm trying to keep awake.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so she's got over 600 copyrights and growing fast, an independent music publisher, picking up all kinds of interesting genres and getting more and more placements, which is fabulous, including in the McDonald's Red Shoe Charity Campaign, lots of other stuff going on with her. She's also a flautist and teaches flute, clarinet, and saxophone in her spare time.
Oh, cool.
You submitted a bunch of songs, so I'm not sure which that's okay. I'm not sure which ones you wanted to play. So what's first for me, Paula?
Let's do Good Life.
Okay.
And this I also have.
And you're working with one of our members, Keith Lowry.
Yes, and we met them. You might want to start at the beginning.
But I could totally hear it in commercials, you know, Walmart, McDonald's.
Yep. And actually, that's their holiday version. They actually have a regular version.
Right. Well, super smart to make a holiday version of that. I mean, I would pitch that for holiday retail for sure.
Will you hang on to it?
For us, it's too... It's just a little bit too cheesy for us.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was going to be...
Yeah, I think, like, it's... Yeah. But we're weird, you know? Like, there are so many companies who would eat this up, so I'm hesitant to like, discourage you from pitching it.
Yeah.
Well, definitely.
Yeah.
She will not be discouraged.
No, I'm not. Never.
Paula is relentless.
Good.
Okay, what's next, Paula?
Let's go to Amanda Duncan, Light Those Candles Bright, also for brief one.
Cool.
And this is actually a Jewish holiday song.
Oh,
bells and all that. Like, if you could make a perfect 15 for me, or a 30 that could be cut down to a 15 with more time, that could work for what I'm working on tomorrow, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need it tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, I will. I will be on the phone to New York tonight, and she'll love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, just, like, anything that excludes the Hanukkah lyrics and just keeps the bells, like, whatever, like, as the most energetic pieces you can keep in this song are great because they want something that's like super hardcore energetic. But that's a good example of, like, again, you're filling a niche. Like, no one makes Jewish holiday music, so that's great to have.
Yeah. Okay. She's actually got a whole holidays EP.
She'll do the edits tonight.
I will reach out to her.
I mean, anytime tomorrow by 5 o'clock is pretty much my deadline.
Okay. Yeah, we'll make sure.
If you can't do it, just send it to me and I'll see if I can do it.
Okay.
It would be great. All
right.
Okay.
Awesome.
The next one I'm going to have you do is the Leftro Melodica Love Me or Leave Me Alone. This is for Brief.
I would say that kind of contemporary R&B is just not something we use a lot of. If we use R&B, we're using, like, super old, obscure stuff for the most part.
Okay.
Contemporary R&B is really tough. Mainly because we just never see briefs for it.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. And then I guess the last one we'll do is Slow, which is, it's got some really interesting builds about the piece that we're about these levels.
Instead of saying, like, I'm an individual and I do my own thing, saying, like, I walk my own line.
Yeah.
Great. You're saying the same thing, but you're not being, like, oh, no, this, you know?
This isn't released yet.
Yeah, that's always good to have. I think it's something I would probably keep. It's bordering on cheesy, but
it's the same band. That's what they do. That's what they do.
But it's like, man, it makes me excited to see like what else they could do. You know,
they're moving out here. They're on their way.
Yeah.
So.
Also good, it's good. I would think an artist for them to listen to in this genre, if they don't already, would be like Mapei, MAPEI. She's like a Swedish artist, and she makes really cool, like, contemporary electro R&B like this.
Okay.
But it's a little bit more fresh.
Okay.
This is just a little bit, it's like almost there, you know?
Okay.
Good.
So, an artist you'll keep your eye on?
Yeah, it would be an artist I would, like, if there was new stuff, I would listen to it.
Very good. Very good. Any questions, Paula?
I don't think so. Just another thing for you to know that we have is the artists that I work with, they're doing a project called In the Pocket, and it's all cover songs of 60s, 70s, and 80s songs from Philadelphia-based writers.
That's cool.
So I have an entire catalog of Pitchable masters.
Okay, cool.
And we have a relationship with most of the publishers. So.
Great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to listen to that.
Oh, I can send it.
Awesome. Well, welcome to Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yes, welcome. All right. Thank you, Paula. Okay, so two more people.
Cool.
Justin Stegner. So he's a young producer engineer from the Bay Area, from Northern California, also a recent transplant. He's creating everything from hip-hop to EDM and even some indie rock. Let's see. First song, Attitude.
Super cool, super on trend. Good for sports, good for technology.
Mm-hmm.
Something that
can you use it?
You know, it would potentially work for something that we're working on right now, but I'm looking for that, like, really managed. The problem with it is this. Like, if you're going to make electronic music in this style, I think you've got to have it get to that point that goes, like, boom! Because that's what we're waiting for.
Okay, so it's got to...
It needs a crescendo, it needs a build. Like,
crescendo and explode.
Yeah, like, okay. a build is so necessary, because when you think about an ad, like, you've got, like, 15 to 30 seconds to have something happen and have the music reflect that happening, and then, like,
okay.
So like, get up there, get there, go back down.
I actually suggest to send you maybe not a whole songs, but cuts, you know, so it's faster.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay.
Yeah, that totally works. But I think that, yeah, the problem with the song is just it doesn't get there. I'm, like, waiting for it to get there.
Okay. Waiting for, okay. It doesn't get there. All right, I'll communicate that to him. He might redo it. Okay, the next one is Curiosity.
Sure.
432. Next is Rock Commercial Idea Demo.
Really hard to critique something that is minimal and just doesn't have there's no range
it
here.
It needs build action, like it's
yeah,
gotta get somewhere. Okay.
Like, you know, if you've got 15 to 30 seconds, like you've got to think about what's happening to picture and the fact that, like, your music needs to have things happening to reflect what's happening in a commercial. Like, it needs to have a little bit of change, a little bit of ups and downs, a little bit of highs and lows. So if I've got a 45-second flat piece of production music, I can't really picture what it's going to work for.
Mm-hmm.
But you did like the first one, the attitude one. If that could have a crescendo to build, you might find that usable.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, for the same reasons that, like, this one isn't usable.
Okay.
You know?
But the latter three were... Okay, well, two of them were production music style, and one was the truck ad, manly man music. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Anything else?
I would tell that guy, like, if he is pitching stuff, not to be afraid to be funny about it. Like, you know, if he wanted to tell people, like, this is the perfect song for someone to listen to while they're walking away from a truck on fire while eating a burger that's dripping barbecue sauce onto their girlfriend's boobs. Like, you know, like, make, like, we want to laugh. Like, we want to break from the intensity of our days. Like, we all do, right? So, don't tell them not to be afraid to be funny. Like, at the end of the day, people treat commercials like it's open heart surgery, but, don't be afraid to be funny.
Okay.
Maybe you shouldn't be precious, because at the end of the day, it sounds like he's writing music for ads, so he should just, like, kind of be upfront about that.
Burgers, boobs. Okay. I'm trying to remember all this.
I'm going to regret saying
he should rename the song, Burgers and Boobs.
That'll get some traction. All right. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And last but not least, we've got Gail Veray, sometimes in Miami, sometimes in New York. She writes terrific top lines and pop songs. She's had a lot of success with Dora the Explorer, working with Disney and Nickelodeon. One of her frequent co-writers and producers is the Glee music producer, Grammy-nominated songwriter Tommy Farragher. So she turns stuff around really well. She's had a number of placements from our sessions. I think top line pop is her métier. We're going to hear Our Boots first.
So much EDM tonight. It's just, it's hard because, like, I don't have a lot to base my feedback off of, mainly because we just don't see a lot of need for it in commercials. So it's really like a supply versus demand type thing. If we had more demand for this, I would have way better feedback.
Okay, good music, but not much need for it. Okay. Swept Away.
The problem with this is it just isn't current sounding. It's not fresh. You know, it's not making me super excited.
It's about the song itself, the bones of the song.
I don't, you know. Definitely not something I could use for an ad. I'm trying to think of if it's even worth pitching for, like, for film or TV. I think it's hard because, like, if you're writing contemporary music, you really need to keep an eye on, like, what is trending. You know, you need to read Billboard, you need to read music blogs, you need to see, like, okay, if I'm going to make rock, if I'm going to make female driving rock and roll music, who is killing at female driving rock and roll music? Like, obviously your goal as a musician shouldn't be to sound like other musicians, but for the purposes of sync, you know, of sync licensing, you kind of need to be on the trend. This, to me, just sounds a little bit dated. There's nothing really reaching out to me that makes it feel fresh or current or exciting.
Okay. Let's move to the next one. Kiss Me.
For me, like a Kiss Me type song that would be like electro leaning. A really good example would actually be one that I think I referenced in my brief, Basin by okay. Yale. That okay. song's all about, it's all in French, and she's like, you know, I just learned the lyrics of the song yesterday and it's out of my head already, but she's basically like talking about like moving her like hips and like learning how to flirt with boys and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Such a good song. I think that's a way better example of what they might be trying to do here, mm-hmm. like flirty French female mm-hmm. electropop. This is obviously more R&B leaning. Am I the only person that thinks that this sounds super cheesy? Like, am I being too critical here?
Well, no. You're the one licensing it.
Yeah, I mean, no. It's just, I hate to give that kind of feedback, but it's just a little cheesy, kind of dated, you know? I would suggest that they listen to that song. Maybe they feel like reworking it. I love the idea of a song that okay. says kiss me in a different language. I just don't love
is,
this
Is that placeable, singable?
This one?
A song in a foreign language.
Totally, yeah. Okay. I mean, we're about to land a pretty decent commercial for that Yale song.
Okay.
So, I love pitching songs in other languages. Okay. Even when people don't want it, I send it to them anyway.
Okay. All right. And her last one is Forever Golden.
That's pretty distracting. I think it would be really good for a teen movie,
okay.
teen TV show.
A lot of emotions, CW. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very emotional, uplifting song. I could hear it in a series finale in a heartbeat for sure.
Well, I appreciate you being frank, but I'm sad because I love Gail.
Yeah, it's just not fresh, you know, that's the problem.
All right.
For us, like when we are, our brand as a company is like having our finger on the bleeding edge of like current fresh.
When you say not fresh, this is production.
No, it's just not. It's not modern. It's just not. When I say fresh, I mean something that I would find on like the coolest music blog. Like okay. we look at music blogs all day, okay. every day. Like you know, Neon Gold, All Things Go, Kids and Complaints, Fader. You know, we want stuff. We want to hear stuff that people are excited about all around the world for the new stuff. And you know, I wouldn't really ever hear anything like what I've heard from Christian
okay.
in any kind of like blog.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have one last question for you, and then we're gonna get a group photo and wish each other a pleasant evening. Name those blogs really quickly for me.
Yes. Fader. Sure. We look at, hold on, I have a whole list on my phone.
Okay.
But off the top of my head, Neon Gold, mm-hmm. All Things Go, Pigeons and Planes, mm-hmm. Fader.
What was that?
Fader.
Fader.
Mm-hmm. And before that, Pigeons?
Pigeons and Planes. I actually just did a big like interview on Pigeons and Planes that would be good to read if you guys had any questions.
Wasn't that on your Twitter?
On my Twitter,
yeah.
yeah.
That. Okay.
If you had any questions that you like didn't get a chance to ask tonight, I would recommend reading that sure. article.
Okay.
There's also Hilly Dilly is great. Indie Shuffle.
Okay.
Noon Pacific is probably my favorite blog right now. They come out once a week at noon with really, really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ear Milk, Stereo Gum.
Okay.
Those are great blogs to
what
target.
Was the last one?
Stereo Gum. So, you know, if you want people to
think that your music is current, like, get it on one of those blocks.
Okay, very nice, very nice.
Is Pitchfork on your list or
not? You know, a lot of stuff that Pitchfork reviews is stuff we already know about, and what I'm looking for is stuff we don't know about yet.
Folks, last question. What can the people here do to better market their music to you?
Well, first of all, let me just say, like, thanks for coming. It's really intimidating for me, too, to sit here and critique all your music. And it means a lot that you guys are, like, listening to my feedback. And, you know, it's hard to be critical as someone that's not a musician and can't make music. So I think it's, like, in order, you know, going back to your question of, like, what can you do to make yourself most marketable, it's so smart that all of you guys are here doing this. I think there are so many, like, clueless people that don't even know to come to something like this. And this is this, like, really great legitimate resource. So it's great that you guys are all here.
Thank you.
I think, I mean, it's tough because you want to be persistent and aggressive, but you don't want to, like, bother people. That's the kind of delicate dance that you do as a musician or as a rep. And I think that I can't speak for every music supervisor because we're all different, but for me, just trust that, like, I know who you are and, like, I will reach out to you if I need something that you have. The surefire way to piss me off is to hit me up tomorrow or the next day with, like, a bunch of links of your stuff to listen to because I just don't have time right now. I don't mind if you guys do that, you know, but just understand that I can't get back to you and most music supervisors can't get back to you, you know, within a week, sometimes a month. Like, from my perspective, like, I took this job, this was my dream job, right? Like, I feel super lucky, but I took it because I love music. We're so busy right now that I can't even listen to the music I want to listen to. Like, I really want to listen to the Magical Clouds record. It's been out for, like, a month. I don't have time to listen to it. So for me to take the time to listen to other music for business is going to take even longer. So just understand that, like, if you email me or another music supervisor and they don't get back to you for 2 weeks or 2 months, it's just because, like, we're so slammed, you know? And I think in terms of when to follow up, which is a question I get a lot when I do panels, like, I would send your first email within a week of meeting a music supervisor and then follow up in, like, 3 weeks to a month. And know that if you don't get a response, it's just because they're so busy.
I recommend with most of our guests, when it's okay, to send an email once every 6 to 8 weeks or if you have something super cool that you just put out.
Yeah, like the fresh, current, brand new stuff is really good to know. And also, if you're a rep, you know, if someone on your roster put out something that you're really excited about or it's an old gen that you just discovered that you're really excited about, I can definitely take 3 minutes out of my day to listen to one song. What I can't do is listen to a sampler of 20 songs that's sent to me once a month or once a week. Some people send that stuff like once a week and it's just so aggressive, you know? It's like, who has time to do this? I don't. I think it's really smart that you guys are all here and definitely check out the blogs that I gave you. You know, don't be afraid to reach out to music supervisors directly, although I would honestly recommend that you consider getting a really good rep. The company that I used to work for a few years ago called Platform in LA is awesome. You could tell Ryan and Julie that I recommended you. You know, they're about 4 or 5 people wide now. They sign bands. They're looking for bands to sign. It's non-exclusive deals. If you are entering into a licensing deal with someone, the general deal should be that there are no, like, upfront fees that you have to pay them. They just take, you know, anywhere from 20% to 30% of whatever they bring in you for you. That's pretty fair. Having a rep is a great idea because
do they take publishing?
Sometimes, like, Platform will co-publish once they make a certain amount of money for a song. Like, if they make you $25,000, they'll co-publish it, but I think that's negotiable. Most companies do co-publish at this point. But I think the benefit of hiring a rep is that, like, they already know us. You're basically, like, you know, using them for their relationships. And you should pitch a rep the same way that you would pitch a music supervisor. Like, tell them who you sound like. Tell them if you've gotten any buzz or whatever. Have a really succinct description to your music and, like, 2 of your favorite songs. You've got, like, 2 songs, pretty much. A window of, like, 2 to 5 songs that you can send anyone at any given time before they tune out, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think 2 to 3 is probably the best number. Just pick your best stuff.
Yeah.
And it's hard, you know, when you've got a Julia and a Paula, and Jake's, Angela's catalog is still fairly small, but when you've got so much stuff and you want to tell people about it, it's just, you know, I think it's important to try to hand-pick what you're going to present to someone, because we can't take in more than 3 or 4 songs at a time, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
It's hard.
Sorry, real quick.
Yes.
I just want to know, for those of us who got feedback where we could, like, make updates, mm-hmm. what's the best way
yeah.
to follow up?
I think that first of all, like, even though I would love to hear, like, remixes of stuff, I really don't want to have you put the time and money to do it, like, right now. It's your call if you want to, but if you're going to do it yourself, that's one thing. I think it would be best to talk to you, and, you know, if you have something, give it to her, give it to me. Like, for me, I get so many emails that, like, I'm honestly scared to get my email out.
Well, you're going to get everything that you heard tonight.
Yeah. For the people that, like, send me stuff tomorrow, I'd like to give you my card so you have it for the holiday stuff. So just come up when we're done.
And anything else, just get it to me, and I'll get it to Jackie. And she does have your contact information.
Yeah, that's why this is going to help me, because it's, like, that's a way better, that will be a more successful way for me to be in contact with you.
This took me a long time.
It's very thorough.
But, yes, and I want our guests to have tools to be able to reach you to place your music, because when you succeed, I succeed, and then we all succeed, and it's beautiful. So, huge round of applause for Jackie. And if you're not too tired, let's have a quick group photo and then send you on your way. Can you manage that?
Yes.
Excellent.
Thank you for listening. Join NARIP now and come to an event near you. NARIP. Get connected. Stay connected.